aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
I see your hair is burning. Hills are filled with fire.
If they say I never loved you.
If they say I never loved you.
No, they are a liar.
You know they are a liar.
Thank you so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. I'm going to be live for the next 3 hours. They have one of the other great crew members hosting the fourth hour, and then I'm going to get in the car and drive down the street and host a couple hours of the Joe Rogan Experience, one of the most popular, if not the most popular, podcast out there. It's also on XM and other satellite systems around the country. So that's coming up at roughly 3:30 Central today, about 30 minutes after this broadcast ends. Well, we have Judge Neil Gorsuch, who weeks ago, folks I talked to said was the lead candidate. I know that Judge Andrew Napolitano was also in the running, but never on the list. And because of that oversight of him not being on the computer-generated list of the most conservative judges, both federal and state, Trump basically couldn't choose him. But I know that he is certainly in the running down the road as one of the leading constitutional jurist in the country. But this gentleman is an acolyte of the late Antonin Scalia, who was killed under very mysterious circumstances. They were good friends and vacationed and hunted together. And so now a mentor of Antonin Scalia, a strict constitutional constructionist, will hopefully get confirmed. Now, he got confirmed to the federal bench years ago unanimously. And now 12 of the 48 Democrats that are running around like proverbial goblins with their heads cut off, screaming and yelling that this man is the devil, look like complete fools because 12 of the 48 that are out there attacking, all 12 of them confirmed him. He was confirmed unanimously. We've got Trump basically announcing yesterday. We've got the response of the media. We also have Dick Durbin saying nothing has changed. He'll still confirm him. So he's one of the only people actually being honorable about the fact that he confirmed him before. And he'll confirm him again. This is a big deal for our country. We tend to live in this instant gratification society, so we don't appreciate flowing water and indoor plumbing and medicine, you know, things like that. But what happens when the antibiotics stop working? Well, what happens if we lost the Supreme Court? It's kind of the same question. We were within a papers-thin margin of the globalists completely taking over the Supreme Court. It was Antonin Scalia that defended the Second Amendment in the D.C. Heller case that's now reversing the gun confiscation trend. But understand something. If we don't fight hard now for everything Trump's doing, we're going to lose it all because the enemy is not as arrogant as they were. The enemy is reconstituting its force and moving harder than ever against free humanity. But really good things are happening. Now, the globalists have been pushing for war with Russia when China is the real threat. I agree with President Trump and his advisors that the real issue is radical Islam and the communist Chinese threat. I don't wish for war with any of these groups. But China is expanding its sphere of influence, trying to set up its own global order. And so are the Islamists, as is very, very, very obvious. There's a big article in USA Today, Bannon takes dark view on Islam as he joins the National Security Council. And you know, this is a big deal because Bannon is an anti-New World Order Americana patriot. It's not about left or right. It's about doing the right thing. You can hear echoes of Bannon and Trump's now incredibly famous inaugural speech where America was reborn on January 20th, where he talks about this isn't about Democrats or Republicans. It's about the people. And about power being transferred back to you. They freak out in this article and in others saying, oh my God, he's worried about radical Islam. They try to paint him as extreme when all he's doing is saying the sun came up this morning and stating facts. So all this and more coming up. We also have some special guests today and some big announcements. I'm Alex Jones coming to you from the road on this February 1st, 2017 global transmission.
Who If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Hollywood Babylon. Hollywood Babylon. Hollywood Babylon. Babylon has fallen. Yeah, a lot of big reports coming out, even from Variety and Vanity Fair. Hollywood is crumbling. Hollywood is rotting. Hollywood is falling apart. And as it crumbles and collapses, it's falling into the arms of the loving, bloodthirsty, ultra-vampiric, international, global, world champions of mass murder, organ harvesting, and baby parts selling. Imagine I'm here on the collapsing, delusional left coast as it falls under communist Chinese dominion. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is a lot to break down, a lot to cover today. Probably really should take this phone call. Buckle, you please take that phone call in the other room. I can't ignore that person that just called. Let's close the door there. Thanks. We are here, I have to say, very, very thankful for the position we're in, with Trump fulfilling yet another promise in a royal flush Trump fashion. Judge Neil Gorsuch is probably even more conservative and strict constructionist when it comes to the Constitution than his mentor, his hero, Antonin Scalia. So this is a big, big deal. He picked the most conservative constitutionalist of the three, and the guy's in good shape and is also very young, so he can definitely stay on the bench 25-30 years. This is a devastating victory against tyranny, a huge victory against oppressors that would take our guns, attack our families, and try to overthrow property rights in this country. This is an absolute victory that really should be celebrated with champagne. Now, he hasn't gotten confirmed yet, but I got to say, Trump continues to impress. This judge was unanimously confirmed to the federal bench more than a decade ago. And now the very same Democrats that unanimously confirmed him are running around saying that they're going to try to block him, other than Dick Durbin, who says nothing has changed. Let's play a clip here of who will hopefully be the new Supreme Court justice to fill the gap for Antonin Scalia, his friend and mentor. Let's go to President Trump. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Just like it has, Trump 2020 has a good ring. Yes, I've got some announcements on that front soon as well. But right now, let's go ahead and go to the president. Oh, it's me making the announcement. I'm totally confused here. And I know I'm on the road. It's fine. I'm on the road. You guys can just talk to me on air if you like. I have a bunch of clips here in my list, and I wanted to play the clip, Alex, that Trump announced his new court pick. So, well, I'm going to give you guys a timeout. Play one of the special reports from Paul Watson. Can we do that? Let's do that.
Given that the left has embraced Islamism to such a degree that they're now basically one and the same thing, I've got a few questions. If banning people from countries because of their religion is bad, then why do 16 Muslim countries ban Israelis because of their religion? If Islam is culturally compatible with the West, why do 11 Muslim countries still execute gay people? If Islam is culturally compatible with the West, why do the majority of Muslims living in the UK think that homosexuality should be criminalized? If Islam is culturally compatible with the West, why do supposedly modern Muslim countries like the United Arab Emirates detain, harass, and threaten transgender people when they try to enter the country? If Islam is culturally compatible with the West, why do you have something literally called the rape game, Taharush Gamia, and something called Bacha Bazi, where old men have sex with young boys? Why do you fail to speak out against Islamic terrorism, yet organize mass protests when someone draws a cartoon of Muhammad? Why do you complain about all Muslims being blamed for radical Islam, then shout down and intimidate ex-Muslims who speak out against radical Islam? Why do you insist that all Muslims shouldn't be collectively blamed for terrorism, but then collectively blame all Westerners for the actions of our governments in Muslim countries? Why do you insist that Islam is a religion of peace and then threaten to kill me when I say it isn't? If Islam is a religion of peace, why does the Quran contain 109 passages that call for Muslims to wage war against non-believers? If Islam is a religion of peace, why do police keep finding huge caches of military-grade weapons in mosques across Europe? If Islam is a religion of peace, why do significant numbers of Muslims living in the West support suicide bombings? If Islam is a religion of peace, why is there no popular Muslim peace movement? If Islam is a religion of peace, why do I routinely receive messages from Muslims who agree with me, but who are afraid to speak out for fear of being killed? If terrorism is all just a backlash against Western foreign policy, why are most victims of terrorism other Muslims? Why do you constantly invoke the Crusades, a 600-year-old defensive war, to make apologies for modern-day Islamic terrorism? That's not an argument.
Not an argument. It's not an argument.
It's not an argument.
Why do you complain about France banning the burkini, when if Western women visited beaches in Islamic countries wearing what they wanted to wear, they'd be attacked and imprisoned? Why do you try to shout down criticism of Islam by calling it racist, when Islam isn't a race? Why, after every Islamic terror attack, is your primary concern a backlash against Muslims? Like, if a far-right troll kills Muslims, should our primary concern be a backlash against far-right trolls? If the West is so selfish for not taking in enough Syrian refugees, why have the five wealthiest Muslim countries taken in virtually no Syrian refugees? If the West is so evil, oppressive, and Islamophobic, why do 50 million of you live here?
All right, great job, crew. Again, I'm on the road. They try to go over the video list with me that we compiled together, but a lot of it's videos they pull up. And then I thought it was a clip of the president announcing the new pick yesterday and part of that presser that I want to play some of coming up. Instead, it was me announcing it last night on Facebook mentions. That's what he was saying. It's you. I'm like, go to this clip of the president. And I hear him going, it's you. And I'm like, what? It's me. Go to the clip of the president. So that's what these live shows are here in Sci-Fi Land, where I'm on the road in L.A., they're in Austin. We're about to have a guest joining us from the East Coast at the start of the next segment with a big announcement. And let's tweak this out so everybody tunes in to InfoWars.com right now. President Trump is going to be nominated by a very, very important nation and a very, very important leader for a Nobel Prize. And we're going to tell you what specific Nobel Prize that is, breaking here first, coming up at the start of the next segment. So, again, just get ready for more and more exclusives here on air. There were more than 20 CNN, ABC News stories, you name it, just last night and this morning about our interview with Dr. Jerome Corsi, who's joined InfoWars, freaking out over the fact that we're going to set up a Washington bureau and saying InfoWars isn't real. You can't have that. You can't do that. Stop them. Don't compete with us. Don't get in the boxing ring with us. Don't get on the field with us. No, no, no. No, no, no. I mean, it reminds me of the 30s and 40s saying, don't let black baseball players on the baseball field. Because that's basically what this is. Prepare to be completely dominated. You know, everybody likes Babe Ruth, okay? And I grew up liking baseball. And he was a great baseball player. But it's easy to have unbreakable records when he was only playing against white guys. I mean, it's kind of like, that's the allegory. Get ready for competition in media, okay? And I've got to say it, you know, InfoWars.com is absolutely aggressive, truth-based, and savage when it comes to really taking action and not rolling over. And that's what is happening here. I mean, we have 3 or 4 million listeners an hour tuning in if you add up all of our different platforms. And we're adding new media platforms all the time. We are destroying the globalists thanks to our listeners who aren't just couch potatoes, but who are the coolest, most aggressive, focused activists in the world. And Trump, again, has pulled another promise. He's pulling out of the climate change treaty. He's restoring our coal power plants. He's building the pipelines. He's cutting the taxes across the board. He is just beginning the removal of Obamacare, getting rid of the forced mandate. The list goes on and on and on. He is just, he's fulfilled so many promises, like investigating vaccines. It makes my head spin, getting rid of regulations. But now with this Supreme Court nominee, you know, you wouldn't have gotten somebody this good with Bush or Bush Senior or even Reagan, quite frankly, though we got Scalia with Reagan. This is a super hardcore constitutionalist, one of the best choices you could make other than an Andrew Napolitano. And so that's why I'm so excited. Let's go out to break here with a clip from Dick Durbin admitting nothing's changed from the confirmation, but adding this is a Supreme Court nomination, so we've got to look closely. But it's well known that Judge Gorsuch is as clean as a whistle. Here it is.
Willie. Senator Durbin, it's Willie Geist. Do I have it right that you voted aye in the voice vote in 2006 when Gorsuch was up for the Federal Appeals Court?
Good question, Willie, and I just don't remember, to be honest with you. On voice votes, you don't make much of a note on it, and it's possible. I don't believe there was a lot of controversy surrounding it. But let me tell you, he's moving from AAA ball to the big leagues here, and he's going to be the deciding vote on the future of the court for a long time, it appears. This is an important decision.
The congressional record shows you did vote in favor. It was a unanimous vote. But has something changed in your view of Gorsuch since 2006 when you did vote aye for him?
No, but, you know, just take a look at what has happened in the past. When someone moves up to the Supreme Court level, different important questions are asked and people are much more careful. That's the way it ought to be.
Well, here's the good news. Trump has the House, the Senate, so he has the legislative, he has the executive, and he has the judicial. He has them for at least...
Man thinks, 'cause he rules it us, he can do with it as he please. And if things don't change soon, he will. For man has invented his doom. First step was touching the moon. Now there's a woman.
Well, I think Bob Dylan and his anti-war song here is perfect as an intro.
Just say who. Gonna take away his license to kill.
Joining us is Dr. Jerome Corsi, three-time number one New York Times best-selling author, an investigative journalist, and also longtime, I'd say, friend of Donald Trump. They, of course, talk some, and this year they're at Trump Tower. I know he's been working with Trump for 40 years, and we're really proud to have Dr. Corsi on board at InfoWars, forming the nucleus of our Washington bureau that I hope to have be very, very robust and strong in the battle to restore this republic and freedom and peace worldwide, something Trump talked about in his inauguration speech. President Obama was given, when he was still president-elect, the Nobel Peace Prize and subsequently launched a whole bunch of wars and bombed, what was it, 7 countries. But we have breaking exclusive news from Dr. Jerome Corsi and his extensive connections in the Middle East, where he served as an advisor to the State Department and more. And a lot of classified areas we can't get into. He has major breaking news exclusive right now. Dr. Corsi, thanks for giving InfoWars the exclusive.
Well, Alex, it's great. I'm actually today in Nashville, Tennessee, and working with a really important cybersecurity company. And I just got text from top intelligence in Israel. Israel has nominated Donald Trump for the 2017 Peace Prize. He was nominated last year. There's about 200 nominations, but this is in advance of Prime Minister Netanyahu's visit with Trump, which is coming up in the next few days. And Israel has decided to make this nomination basically on the decision to move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem and the fact that Donald Trump has had the courage of his convictions. Again, another promise in the campaign being fulfilled. Taking, I think, an historic, maybe even biblical step to legitimate the state of Israel. And the way I read the Bible basically says those who help Israel, God helps, and Donald Trump's on the right side here.
Well, certainly providence that he invoked during the inaugural speech is with our republic. And, of course, England began to help the Jews when they were being persecuted going back 1,000 years ago in Europe. And, of course, it's been known since then. That's why England had so much great providence. And also, of course, the Christian faith and Christ being number one. But that covenant has clearly been passed on, not just to all the Gentiles of the world through Christ, but particularly to England and the United States. Historians, even people that are anti-Western, have marveled that the United States of America has a special providence, Dr. Corsi.
Yes, well, even while we're talking, I mean, Israel, I just got another text message. I said we were going to break the news on Alex Jones' InfoWars broadcast. They said one word. They said, great. They're thrilled we're going to break the news on Alex Jones' InfoWars. And that comes directly from a source who's really above Mossad and the intelligence structure in Israel. This is a very historic moment because, you know, again, Democrats' heads are probably going to explode. You're probably going to... By the way, I think Barack Obama was at war, first U.S. president to be at war every single day of his two terms. And Donald Trump, I confidently believe, is going to take steps to end the turmoil, the chaos in the Middle East. This initiative that he's going to, you know, Putin's a tough guy, and Russia is going to play both sides. But I think we've got some information that's going to help Donald Trump and give him even an edge in dealing with Russia. We're going to publish that in the next day or so. And Israel confirming that they're, you know, going to nominate Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize is going to send shockwaves through the world. And the basic understanding with Donald Trump is there's a new sheriff in town and things are changing. And the things are changing, finally, in the direction of the Constitution, and I believe in the direction that God wants it to go in if you read the Bible.
Well, Dr. Corsi, this is breaking news, but I'd like to ask you to hold over in the next longer segment because I know you sent us your Russia story that's well documented, and then I talked about adding some, you know, some more research into it that I've personally been looking at. As soon as we finish here, if you want to finish, you know, adding that other information, I would like to get that out today. If you'd like to release it in the morning, that's fine as well. And of course, we're doing this because it's just the truth, and people need to know that. The claim that Trump was being manipulated by Russia is pure bull. Russia does hope for peace. Russia does want to work with Trump. We want to work with Russia as well. But we have to understand they have their own leftist system in their government as well. And everything is basically a double game. And what Trump's doing, what we're doing, is exposing the double game. This is really about straight shooting. And so that's what we do. But I want to come back and get more into this whole peace prize announcement that you've been given by your high-level sources, very high-level. I mean, as high as they go, basically, it's almost ridiculous that we're getting this news of this magnitude. Stay with us.
Empires on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. Patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, leftist infiltration and Islamic infiltration into this country and into our media is so massive it makes my head spin. And one of the few places that I was somewhat blind was the Islamic issue. I knew that radical Islam was funded by Saudi Arabia. I knew that they were taking over much of the Muslim world. I knew that Islamic terror was real and a serious threat. But I didn't like seeing us lose our liberties in the name of countering it. And I didn't like that we tended to attack countries that weren't involved in radical Islam or were actually enemies of radical Islam, like Gaddafi or Saddam. Not saying they're good guys. They were bad guys. But they were toppled to make room for the hegemonic takeover of Saudi Arabia. Well, Michael T. Flynn, General Flynn, is one of the chief advisors to Trump. He knows this. He fought when he was still the head of Defense Intelligence 3 years ago to not back al-Qaeda / ISIS, al-Nusra Front, in Syria and other areas, in Boko Haram. And by the way, you want other big giant news here? Let me give it to you. You notice you're not hearing about target lists. You're not hearing about how many countries are being hit. You're not hearing about how many targets are being hit. You're not hearing about Boko Haram being rolled up in Africa. You're not hearing about all the covert direct action that's going on right now. Because Trump always said, you don't talk about war. You don't talk about what you're doing. I mean, the enemy obviously knows what's going on now, so I'll just go ahead and tell you because we're about 12 days into this. ISIS and al-Qaeda are being taken out all over the world right now in direct action. Training camps are being taken out all over the world, and I mean all over the world. Real cells that Obama and Hillary and others had allowed, and other Arabists in their administration had allowed them to infiltrate and allowed them to set up all over the West, those are being rolled up right now. But notice Trump's not bragging about it, and they don't have Fox News and CNN going, today the president had, 36 targets hit, and then yesterday, 45 targets hit. These are all the hundreds and hundreds of targets that Obama would not allow them to target. Remember when he forced politically because he was helping ISIS to allow some bombing hours before they would rain down leaflets and say, don't be in your trucks, don't be out in the open. But now the command and control is being hit. And that's why Trump deserves a peace prize. I mean, it was a sick joke to give a peace prize to Obama. Now with Trump, he's actually been in and in just 10, 11 days done more for real peace and real security. And I want to be clear. I don't worship Israel, but I also hate the crowd that blames everything on Israel and says that if you step on a banana peel, it was Israel's fault, when Israel's just like the U.S. They have libertarians, conservatives, liberals, Christians, Jews, Orthodox Jews, you name it. It's a very complex situation. And I have seen the real mental illness out there where Arabist brainwashing and other things in the media have really even gotten a lot of the conservative movement to obsess on Israel and become anti-Semitic. And it's just stupid. It's a distraction. It's mindless. It has nothing to do with reality. The truth is, leftist Hollywood and the big leftist globalists are atheistic and anti-family, and they're persecuting conservative Jews. They're persecuting conservative Christians. They're globalist, materialistic scum. I mean, take Soros, who's Jewish. His pedigree's perfect, helping round up Jews by the thousands when he's a teenager. I mean, you can't make this up. And then it comes out in WikiLeaks 6 months ago that he was trying to overthrow Israel. So, again, I'm somebody who isn't just a mindless supporter of Israel, because they have leaders that come and go. It's a diverse group. But I don't hate Israel. I'm out to get Israel. And I ask everybody that is on this bandwagon of hating Israel, what about all the Arab countries that won't take any of the so-called Palestinians that are really just refugees traveling to Israel, many of them? I mean, what? Whenever Islamists kill people or run folks over, the left makes excuses for it. And I remember hearing Bannon talk about this and Corsi years ago and saying, no, there's no way they're infiltrating the media and the government's going to double cross us and actually try to convert a lot of stuff to Islam or make us get rid of our free speech to comply with Islam. That's official now in France and Germany and the Netherlands and Sweden. So Corsi's right. Glenn Beck's right about it. Glenn's got his problems. He was right about this. And it was worse than I thought. So I want to get back to the whole peace prize announcement that should happen sometime today or tomorrow. But I want to go back and look at CNN, and I want to look at USA Today and others who, again, will huff and puff and freak out over normal statements in an attempt to make normalcy and common sense sound weird. Like, oh, Trump's crazy. He wants to secure the border. Well, everybody else that's a sovereign nation does that. Or Bannon's crazy. He thinks there's a fifth column of Islamists in the government. Well, now we know there is. I mean, I go to the women's marches and they're handing out thousands of hijabs and women are saying, Allah Akbar, we hate white males, we hate Christ, we hate the West, we love Islam. It is Stockholm syndrome. I mean, it makes no sense. So, Dr. Corsi, the way Trump is trying to work with the non-radical Islamic countries, the way he's trying to help the more moderate regime of Assad kick the Al-Qaeda out, the way all this is happening is very, very good. And I think you can really say, if you look at his inaugural speech, he's calling for world peace, but through strength, I think he deserves this peace prize 1,000 times more. But just recap, because, I mean, I know you've got this high-level source, and of course, I mean, you're well-known for documenting things, so let's break down specifically from your source when we're going to hear this announcement and exactly why it's thought that, I mean, will Netanyahu do it? Will another Israeli minister do it? How is Trump going to be specifically nominated for the Peace Prize?
Well, there's a formal process for doing it. They get about 200 nominations into the Nobel Committee each year. And the Israel has gone through the official process from the government to submit a formal nomination of Donald Trump to receive the 2017 Nobel Peace Prize. And I think it's going to be deserved. I mean, we'd break some other news. I wasn't planning on it today, but You know, Trump is going to pull together a coalition that involves not only Putin, but al-Sisi in Egypt and Erdogan in Turkey. This may surprise a lot of people, to go after ISIS. Turkey has been making strong overtures. I've been writing about Turkey recently. I can tell you 100% confident that Turkey is going to come aboard and is going to want to work strongly with Trump to be a responsible Islamic force in the Middle East. And that coalition is going to go after ISIS and is going to crush ISIS. The disorder, the confusion that was caused in the Middle East by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, you know, destabilizing, getting rid of Gaddafi, getting rid of Mubarak in Egypt, that's all going to be reversed under Donald Trump. And it's well along in the way. The American public doesn't know about it yet. But behind the scenes, Israel is working together with Egypt. They're going to start working closer with Turkey. It's going to be with the United States. Russia is going to be in the middle of it. And we are all going to be basically saying, putting an end to radical Islamic terrorism.
And what does this spell out? What does this spell out for Saudi Arabia, who we know is the main pusher of this?
Well, Saudi Arabia is going to have to come around. I mean, they've got a major issue with Wahhabism, and it's going to have to be addressed. But this is a coalition that's being put together that does not include or necessarily rely upon Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia doesn't get its act together. They're not going to be in the forefront of the responsible countries in the Middle East taking steps to put an end to the chaos. We don't need the refugees. We don't need children killed, women just killed, you know, through the bombing and everything else going on. ISIS is creating this in order to create a humanitarian crisis, and the responsible nations led by Donald Trump are going to put an end to it.
Let's look at the strategy. A lot of it's been leaked by Google and Facebook. Going back 6 years ago, they met north of London, where just a few years later they had the Bilderberg group meeting there at a luxury hotel. And for months they met with the different intelligence agencies, basically commanded by Google, which you were, of course, writing about trying to take over the White House yesterday, trying to creep in there. And Google, that wants to be basically the global corporate government, the AI system, they developed a plan with then Secretary of State Clinton and, of course, Senator Kerry and Obama to basically turn the Middle East over to an Islamic spring, not an Arab spring. And then we saw Al Gore calling for an Arab spring or a liberal spring here in America. And now we see the true bizarre odd couple link up of the left in their hatred of the West with the Islamicists. And we've seen this attack literally now launched and materialized. And women from Austin, Texas to D.C. to Berlin, Germany, chanting Allah Akbar and bringing flowers to the Islamicists. And this is in the news, servicing them sexually as if they're God. This is just the most insane cuckolding, Stockholm syndrome, learned helplessness programming by Soros, and it's all in the WikiLeaks, but it's so absurdist that if I read this 20 years ago in a science fiction dark satire novel, I would think it was just, you know, too off the wall insane. So what does this really say about Soros and the globalists and their long-term plan to destroy borders and try to merge the Islamic world with Europe? Just in a dysfunctional mess. I mean, I'm surprised this Trump movement, you know, didn't come sooner, but thank God it's here.
Yes, well, I think you're going to see, you're going to find the announcement when it comes out, just getting more details in from, you know, sources. It's going to come out, the nomination may not have Israel's name on it, but it was engineered by Israel. It was engineered, this is part of the backstory that Israel intelligence is telling me, basically, that the strategy of getting Donald Trump nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize is going to be key to advancing, you know, the idea, reversing Obama. Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize and he went to war every day in his administration.
No, I get it. So your sources, again, because this is breaking as it comes in from a high-level source that you're literally talking to as we talk on text, that to be clear, Netanyahu's obviously going to come congratulate Obama, but that this is a group effort.
It's a group effort. It's going to be a group effort. I'm not sure. I haven't read and I haven't seen the exact wording of the nomination. I'm just getting my information in from top sources, intelligence sources, and I'm getting the backstory of how this is put together and what it's all about.
So folks are really getting things raw here on air now.
Yeah. And so this is really, I mean, this is coming in as we're talking. And
Let's talk about our back sources here and being proven right. They diverted us successfully for about a month. I mean, not myself, but some people with Pizzagate, because you have thousands of emails clearly talking about sex, clearly talking about code words, and all over the country from Hawaii to California to New York to D.C. And then you've got David Brock's boyfriend running a pizza place. Yes. And then the media focused on that pizza place that had just been mentioned on some 4chan board as if the whole story about Wiener and pedophilia was all about this pizza place where we're saying probably he's done nothing.
Right.
The media then makes them victims by focusing on that. But what do we see in the New York Post, the Associated Press last night? Wiener is being looked at for indictment for child pornography just to begin with. Anthony Wiener may get slapped with child pornography charge. Now, we broke here with Doug Hagman and my other sources off air, Eric Prince of former Blackwater, talk about, you know, deep state globally, but he is fighting for Trump, a patriot, proven patriot, is now coming out saying, I have high-level sources 2 weeks after we broke it, confirming in New York a major pedophile ring, and that Hillary's being told, you better watch it, or this is going to come out next. Well, now this just confirms so much of what we said here first, that Wiener is being investigated for child pornography. In fact, I was even shown on air blurred photos that were given to police investigators, just the prelude of the type of crap reportedly on his laptop. So again, massive vindication here, Dr. Corsi.
And a couple other things. I'm going to have the more on Google, because we're going to see increasingly that Brock and Google are the co-conspirators of this fake news idea. And behind it is to close down the conservative press, including Alex Jones. But a couple more things quickly. I will have the Russia story filed in about a half an hour, and it's going to be additional ammunition for Donald Trump when he's going to deal with Putin. It could be game-changing in the deal with Putin. And lastly, I'm here in Nashville with a company called Certainty One, Certainty, Certainty One. They've developed smart data. It's a cybersecurity ability to have even if a firewall is penetrated, the data is useless to the guys hacking it, because it has internal nano engines in it that make it such that it can't be read. Now,
it's a scrambler.
About 20 minutes ago, emailed this information into the White House, because Donald Trump is about to issue an executive memorandum on cybersecurity, fulfilling another campaign promise. And we're going to be able to give to Donald Trump through Alex Jones, and we're going to form a partnership here with Certainty One, because this is a paradigm shift. This technology, I was working with this technology several months before I joined you, Alex.
Sure. And we also know that Trump had to give up his cell phone a few weeks ago, which is a huge issue. They're trying to isolate him more and more, but it's just amazing. So I look forward to looking at that more and teaming up with all of this with you, Dr. Corsi, in the little bit of time we have left here, just adding a caveat to all this. Let's look at the new Supreme Court nominee. I think he'll be confirmed. He was unanimously confirmed to the circuit court previously in 2006. But I think that Judge Neil Gorsuch is an excellent choice, being an acolyte of Antonin Scalia.
It's also a brilliant move, because Donald Trump has nominated someone who's, just stellar in his background and his qualifications. The Democrats are going to look like they are, off on the hard left, about ready to fall off the cliff if they oppose this nominee. They're going to look insane opposing this nominee, because he stands for fundamental things the public agrees with. And his positions are reasonable. They're very, very scholarly. And he's going to be an outstanding nominee. He's going to be on the court, I assure you.
Exciting. Okay, and I know this came in breaking from your high-level source that Trump he's going to be nominated for a Peace Prize. And you said, can I go with that? And they said, sure. And they're like, hey, yeah, we're involved, but it's not just all us. This is a big group effort. But the word is, Israel's getting the info that this is going to be coming out soon. In fact, I want to let you actually get on the phone. I'll call you back during the break. If you can, Dr. Corsi, write us a quick blurb on more of the details so we can get this out first. But thank you for giving it to us raw, as it came in as raw intelligence.
And you've also got the backstory in that we know, as I can confirm it with the text messages I've received that the Israel has been very instrumental in orchestrating and putting this together.
All right, very, very exciting. Thank you, Dr. Corsi. We'll talk to you soon at Infowars.com, new head of our Washington Bureau we're forming.
Thank you. Thanks. Great to be with you, Alex. Thank you.
You bet. A lot of different angles, obviously, just got covered there. My head is swimming with all the ideas and things that are developing. But know this. Trump is going to deliver on lower taxes. Trump is going to deliver on securing our border. Trump is going to deliver on defending the Second Amendment and families and private property and counterbalancing all the globalism we've seen by putting at least four. Let's say if he's even in just 4 years. There's a whole bunch of them are set to retire. It could be five or six if he gets that second term. We've got to have Trump 2020. We're going to skip this break, guys. Going to skip that break. Now, Infowars.com, again, is a critical website, and I cannot stress to viewers and listeners enough here that I'm going to put everything that comes in 2017, everything, into forming the Washington Bureau and into augmenting our crew and teams that we can deploy around the country, a camera person, a researcher, a news anchor, more investigative journalists, more writers, but also take care of the great crew we have that have been here. Some people going back 16 years like Paul Watson and Rob Jacobson that's been here now 12, 13 years. Those are our longest employees. Rob Dew, 10 years, things like that. We have an amazing team. And I just want to thank God here openly on air. Call it a prayer, whatever you want, just musing aloud. Thank you, God, because I'll be driving home sometimes at night, or I'll be driving to the grocery store. I'll be walking to the grocery store. I just look at all the milk and honey around us and all the opportunity and how our poorest people are better off than, you know, some of the richest people in history before us, you know, in more primitive times. And the fact that we are really being delivered from corruption and evil right now, and that Trump really is delivering on everything he said he would do, and that we had better really work hard and maximize this breathing period, this rest period that we've got, because this is only a rest period in between rounds. And believe me, I studied history, but also understand things at a metaphysical level. If you think we've seen some big, nasty stuff come down, get ready for some really big stuff to come. The enemy is going to accelerate their operations. We're dealing with very arrogant, mentally ill pedophiles, mainly at the top, who are vampirically draining the energy of children. That's what the raping of the children is about. It's not even really sexual. It's a vampiric, satanic act. And that's why every culture that falls always has pedophiles on top of it who also sacrifice children. The media always makes jokes about this when I talk about it, because they know the general public that at least reads, you know, Vice's publications and, you know, other dumbed down kind of trendy stuff, don't know that every culture sacrificed children in one period or not. And those cultures always collapse within a few generations of the child sacrifice beginning. And whatever dark gods, whatever demonic entities they're interdimensionally communicating with, and that's what they believe they're doing, that demand the innocents being destroyed. Once an elite gets in place that's being given this type of dark power, you always see only an intensification of the persecution until the world basically collapses. Now they believe, though, that this maximum evil will grow to a level never before seen, because they're going to be able to use computers and technology to prop up evil systems that have collapsed before. So they believe that the prime evil, or the maximum evil, is about to be brought upon the world. And so what you see with Trump and the rest of it is only a small manifestation of the potential resistance spiritually that we have against this force. And again, the enemies of humanity are the enemies of God. And they think they can defeat us. That's why we have to go back to God for our strength and just thank God for the wonderful things, the wholesome things, the good things that are happening right now. And Donald Trump isn't perfect, but he's talked about how he's changed a lot too the last few years, and really his awakening has accelerated. So it's a very, very important time to be alive. I also just want to ask listeners to think about supporting the broadcast. It's essential. We right now really won't have the money in the next year to do all these things. I'm just going to believe in it and believe in God and believe in you and work harder promoting our products and bringing great products to you so we can fund this operation. But everybody needs the supplements, the nutraceuticals at InfoWarsStore.com. Everybody needs the water filter. Says it's from Alexa Pure. They're 25% off right now. That's going to end this weekend. 25% off on the Alexa Breeze, Alexa Pure Breeze air filtration systems. 10% off on the Secret 12 methylcobalamin that's back in. Talk about great energy. It works wonderful with the best-selling Brain Force. Brain Force is now our best seller, even more than the iodine, because people try it and they just can't believe the clean, strong clarity and focus you get with it. But you mix it with a squirt of true organic methylcobalamin and acetavil cobalamin, or however you pronounce it, that helps you upload it better. It's the next best thing to shots. It's the same stuff people inject. They get from doctors. Don't do that, folks. It's not certified for that, but it is the same stuff absorbed right into the body. So we have that taken under the tongue, and we have Brain Force go great together. We also, again, are going to have to retire it, even though folks have asked me not to. Trump is my president shirt is going to be gone soon. Hillary 2017 for president is important. Deport Soros on the back and so much more. A lot of new shirts, by the way, I haven't really talked about. There's a Republic. Defense Force shirt that's really powerful. Other Citizen Press shirts that say Infowars.com on them as well. And there is a shirt that says Infowars Crew as well, because there's a war on for your mind. So a lot of new shirts at Infowarsstore.com, or call toll free 888-253-3139. There's also the famous Bill Clinton rape shirt, which is clear to meet like-minded friends and truth seekers, but also make leftists have 110% conniption fits. So that's available as well at InfoWarsStore.com. The Making of a President, 2016, all of them signed by Roger Stone with a signed nameplate. So those are available. This is the first day that's shipping out. He'll be hosting the fourth hour today. We should probably get Stone on a little bit early today to kind of segue into him hosting the fourth hour and a lot of other big announcements to make as well. But it is critical. It is beyond essential that when we put up stories that expose that illegals really are voting, or that people are voting in dead people's names. We've got a big investigative report coming out Friday on that. It's essential that you continue to get those articles and stories out, because just because we're starting to win and turn the tide doesn't mean we're going to win the war. I cannot stress enough that in my gut, but also intellectually, I know we've got to turn the heat up to the next level. We've got to go and dominate the whore media, the Decepticon media, the fake news media, because they're trying to shut us down. We're not trying to shut them down. We're going to dominate them with the truth. But to do that, it's going to take major capital. So thank you for the support. I pledge to all of you that I will only be more focused, more serious, more humble, but also more vicious in my attacks against the globalists and my total commitment against the New World Order and all these cynical globalists and, you know, garbage folks that just want to divide humanity. So I want to salute you all and thank you for your support, whether it's spreading articles or spreading links to our videos or purchasing products at InfoWarsStore.com. You have made the InfoWar what it is. You are the InfoWar.
InfoWars.com News Center, deep behind enemy lines in occupied Texas, broadcasting worldwide. You're listening to the voice of human resistance against the technotronic technocracy takeover. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Now notice, for about 19 years, I've had liners saying broadcasting from occupied Texas, FEMA Region 6, you know, different promos along those lines, because the United States really has been captured to a great extent by the globalist. And I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. But first off, I want to bring Owen Schroyer in, who'll be co-hosting with me in this hour, to talk about some of the big stories he's going to be breaking.
Well, Alex, I got to be honest with you. I'm getting a little angered right now by the Democrats and some of the voices on the left, because they're really starting to insinuate violence and they're trying to blame it on us. Now, I've got a handful of news stories here to illustrate exactly what I'm talking about. Paul Joseph Watson filed a video and a news story. This is on Infowars.com. Left-wing journalists, violence against racists to stop Trump should be tolerated. And this left-winger out of London, I don't even know who she is, Nesreen Malik. I've never heard of her. She's kind of an ugly human, to be honest, just because of the things that she's talking about. But she's basically insinuating that, okay, well, if you go out and you commit acts of violence against Trump supporters, well, that's just fine because Trump is a racist. See, Trump is a Nazi. So it's okay for you to go out and be violent against Donald Trump supporters. So here you are, Nesreen Malik. So in London, if somebody walks out with a Make America Great Again hat on and they get socked in the face, are you going to take the blame for that? Are you going to be the one to stand up and apologize? Are you going to admit that you incited it?
Let me go one further. They're going to attack the wrong person. They're going to pull their concealed carry and defend themselves. And so how are they going to feel then when she gets people killed or when a Trump supporter gets punched in the head, falls down, and busts their brains out, as has already been happening? And then CNN defends it and goes, well, they're white. Look, this is George Soros trying to create race war. Every day you get the New York Times, Vice, or other publications coming out saying, let's have a coup. Trump needs to die. These people really are trying to start a civil war. They have free speech. And I support the First Amendment 110%, 1,000%. But I do not support planning insurrection. And the point I was making earlier, I took a gulp of water. It went down in my lungs a little bit. Sorry about that. I had a coughing fit. I was glad you were there, Owen. Was that we talk about deep behind enemy lines. By admitting that America's been captured by globalists, bringing that topic up, once you expose that England was under the unelected EU, that we were under this unelected NAU, that's the beginning of the end for them. And so now, of course, the EU says they want to bring military forces into countries that try to pull out. Of course, they're trying to threaten the U.S. and say, we'll hurt your economy, we'll hurt Trump. Well, if they do hurt our economy now, the American people will know they did it and won't blame Trump. By facing the real topics and the real definitions and the real players of the real world system, just people knowing how things really work, it's game over. And notice the public now knows this. They understand the forces arrayed against the West. They understand how the third world's being used as a tool. They're not the forces arrayed against us. And they are in panic mode. So, yes, I want to go into this, the Budweiser commercials creating division, and so much more. And I want to get into an article demonizing Bannon out of USA Today. And, it's in CNN, everywhere else, has similar articles. I want to get into all this coming up because it illustrates how they take something that's totally reasonable and then write articles making it sound crazy in an attempt to make libertarians, conservatives, and others distance themselves from Bannon, who's one of the key people in the White House advising the president and one of the people really helping synergistically interface with 45 so that we can actually defeat the New World Order. Bannon is a key general in the fight, but make no mistake, so is Drudge. And so is InfoWars. And I hate to say we're the big three up there, but it's Bannon, Drudge, and InfoWars as three individuals or organizations that are the trifecta, the wise men interfacing with the people and the world and with Trump. And it isn't that we tell Trump what to do. Trump hears what we say and already instinctively knows it. We'll be back.
Coming to you from the former United States of America, from deep in the heart of Texas, it's Alex Jones.
Hi. That's right, folks. We are the former United States of America. We've been absorbed into the North American Union. George W. Bush signed that back in 2005 in Texas at Baylor University with Vicente Fox and Paul Martin of Canada. And now by admitting that we're in the former United States, just like England is in the former UK, now they're in the EU, it makes 90%+ of their laws they're trying to get out. So it sounds radical saying, you know, coming to you from the former United States of America. People say, oh, well, you don't like America? No, no, I want America to come back. I want to point out what's happening. Now, Owen Schroyer is riding shotgun with me in this hour, joining us again from the InfoWars News Studios in Austin, Texas. I'm on the road in Los Angeles because I'm going to be on one of the biggest podcast out there, 20 million or more, 18, 20 million, they say, every week, does it three times a week, the Joe Rogan Experience with my old friend Joe Rogan. Never actually, I've been on clips on the show many times, been obviously talks about almost every episode of the show. People keep asking, why don't you ever come out and get on the show? Well, Joe invited me a few months ago again, and I said, this time I'll come out. So look forward to that, 3:30 Central Time. You can find out more at joerogan.net or youtube.com/user/ Well, I see a computer screen up there. I can't read the end of the URL, but you can obviously see the URL if you are a TV viewer out there. But again, I am on the road today. We have the new Supreme Court nominee, a great pedigree, very conservative, an acolyte that sat at the feet, a protege of the late Antonin Scalia. So that's got to make the folks really mad that killed Scalia, that his acolyte is replacing him. That is certainly exciting. Owen Schroyer there in the studio was bringing up some really important news with how they have more and more people openly calling for attacking anyone wearing a Make America Great Again hat. What about Make America Free Again? What about Keep America Great? I mean, what is it about feeling like you're not part of America? That's the whole leftist Ford Foundation MSNBC idea. Let me explain something to everybody out there. I don't care what color you are. There's different statistics, but in most areas of the Southwest and even the Midwest and places like Florida, half the population under the age of 20 is Hispanic. It's set, depending on the numbers you look at, by 2030 that something like 70% of the country will be Hispanic. I mean, it's just, this is America. And Hispanics should ask, do you want to live in Cuba under a communist type system or Venezuela under socialist / communist system? Or do you want to live in this system? And we're not perfect. We're trying to be good. Do you want the birthright? And quite frankly, culturally, most Hispanics fit well with the Americana view. They just never got out from under colonialism. Colonialism left, but whether it was Brazil or Mexico, they just got one form of kingpin after another form of a kingpin and never got out of that system. The elites in Mexico brag that they want to keep the little people, as they call them, the peons, poor. That's what feudalism and serfdom is. Mexico didn't just invent it. Study serfdom in Japan. Study serfdom. You want to see serfdom, go see Silence by Scorsese. It's a very long film. It's very well done. It's very depressing. That's exactly how 95% of Japanese lived under the Japanese system. I love Japanese. They're great people. But the reason they basically have zero crime is because they were put through 1,000 years of hardcore slavery. I mean, if you so much as looked at somebody in the eye that was in a caste above you, they would kill you. That's called feudalism. That's called keeping people poor. Okay? And look what the West has done for Japan. Look at Japan and its wealth and power and the redistribution through open, free societies to the Japanese people compared to what they were under. Population bloom, freedom. Now they've gotten decadent like everybody does, but I'm getting into a history lesson here. There is a full pitch and push to have anybody of color believe that free market and wealth and success and innovation is something you don't deserve, and it's associated with whiteness. You're being given an operating system, a virus of failure, and just break your conditioning, get out of it, and look at how all these liberal groups are almost to a person led by weird, twisted, controlling, Luciferian supporting, literally, Saul Alinsky pledged people. Hillary was a pen pals and a protege of him. I mean, he forwarded his book saying, I pledge allegiance to Lucifer. And I pledge this book to Lucifer. You have to understand, really evil people are weak, but they have knowledge of manipulation. And so they hate the people under them. And I don't want to say it's a white conspiracy, but it's just what I've seen. It's really weird to see twisted, physically ugly white people leading healthy, looking on average groups of minorities. It's just something I've observed. A bunch of young minorities being led by always some twisted old white guy or woman who just literally look like Emperor Palpatine or something. I mean, look at Chucky Schumer. The guy looks like a freaking demon. He acts like a freaking demon. Excuse me, I'm not going to say, my dad always calls when I say that. That's the same thing as cussing. Don't do that. Right, it's a family show. I apologize. I start thinking about Anthony Weiner and just all of it. It's mind-blowing. By the way, if you just joined us, we told you that Wiener was being looked at for indictment months before it was even in the news for child pornography. We broke that here. They diverted off into Pizzagate. And now, headlines, they're looking at indicting him for child pornography. And the word is, Hillary tried to steal the election. She failed, and she was told that night through Podesta, if you continue and if you try to steal the election and challenge us and have a civil war, all of it's going to come out. It's going to hurt the country. She claimed she was capitulating. She didn't. They reorganized behind the scenes, and all the PP gate and all the Russia gate crap you've seen has been the fallout of it, and Soros isn't stopping either. None of them are stopping right now. And we have to be conscious and aware of that situation and understand they have these Judas goats. For those that don't know, when you've got goats that you send in to be sheared or sheep or whatever to be slaughtered, goats, sheep, apples and oranges, but same technique. You have one old billy goat of the leader that leads them into the slaughter every year when you choose out who you want to eat, who you want to shear, who you want to sell, who you want to keep. That's called the Judas goat. And Oprah Winfrey is a black Judas goat of the highest order. And she is in the highest order of the global system. And I'm going to prove that coming up at about 40 after. We're going to play a special report, the truth about Oprah Winfrey. But going now to my co-host for the hour, Owen Schroyer, I want to get into the attacks of Anheuser-Busch saying, oh, look, an immigrant started Anheuser-Busch, and now he wouldn't be here today. Immigrants are our strength. We already know that. You can't have unlimited, unvetted people coming in and having their babies for free and then being brainwashed to be anti-white, anti-America in a globalist plan. That's the whole point. They keep straw man misrepresenting. I don't care what color you are, as long as you're hardworking, funny, and don't have an attitude problem and a chip on your shoulder. And I'll tell you, some of the biggest chips on the shoulder out there are spoiled, rotten white people because they've had it good for so long, and they tie perfectly into this whole cosmology of chip on the shoulder culture. And I'm so sick and tired of it, and I want it to come to an end, but I want to get to this Anheuser-Busch ad and then Mark Dyson's take on it in a moment. But I know this is something you've been covering. How transparent can it get? Here's the key. The entire corporate media, Hollywood, foreign governments, every bad actor, the evil pope that Catholics are openly calling the devil, he is trying to, I mean, his whole church is against him now. I mean, he's a takeover artist using pedophile rings to take over yet again. The communist Chinese, the Saudi Arabians, every bad actor, every wickedly known evil group that oppresses their own people is openly telling us we can't have Trump. And the fact that the corporate media is coming out against him again certifies how good and how real he is. But now we don't just have that confirmation. Owen, we have them openly trying to destroy him and only intensifying their efforts now that he's in power and he's delivering on every front. This is amazing. This shows there's not just evil in this world.
Well, here's two realities that we're dealing with right now. And this is what I try to tell the people that hopefully can awaken people who just think Trump is this evil dictator, this Nazi, this racist. The same media that is tearing Trump down as the bad guy is the same media that builds up the Kardashians as idols. Think about that. You want to know what's wrong with culture and society? It's people like the Kardashians being idolized by the youth. People who contribute nothing to society. Fake people. You've got fake people like the Kardashians influencing society. And then you've got fake news like CNN influencing society. But then beyond that, what's the other reality we're dealing with? The most discriminated people against in this country right now are Trump supporters. And if you don't believe that, I challenge you to put on a Make America Great Again hat, walk around for a couple days, see what happens to you. See if you don't get yelled at in the streets. See if you don't get physically assaulted. My bet
are that
you
would. And they're trying to intimidate us. They're trying to bully us. That's why I'm not usually a grandstander in public. I'm now aggressively wearing Trump's My President shirts and my hat. In fact, when I get back to Austin, I want to go out to 6th Street. I want to go everywhere with the crew and just show
me with you
the tribe of dribbling idiots that are against us.
So here's why I'm starting to get mad about this, Alex, because it's getting worse. Now, I know that I don't know what your travel plans are, but you're going to be on Joe Rogan later today, which is going to be great. I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be the biggest Joe Rogan podcast in a long, long time, maybe ever. But tomorrow in L.A., in West Hollywood, there's a massive Trump protest scheduled. It's going to be huge. There will probably be 10,000 people out there, just like we saw at the airport after the travel ban. These are total puppets falling for fake news. So here's why I'm getting so upset about this, Alex. The Democrats are responsible for this. The Democrats like Tim Kaine and Chuck Schumer.
They blew up the Middle East. They created the refugee crisis. They opened the borders. Now Trump just does what the law says and they flip out. And then I got off the plane last night. It was like 60, 70 stupid protesters all screaming, KKK, go away. How about radical Islam, quit enslaving
women? What KKK,
women?
No, Alex? Did you have an outfit on? Why are they chanting KKK at you? It makes no sense.
They were just randomly marching up, chanting at families, bumping into people, just a bunch of idiot morons. Definitely all hired by Soros. As Trump has said over and over again, all he's delivering on is common sense. I want to read an article here that I meant to get to with Corsi earlier, but I want to get into this with Mr. Owen Schroyer, who will be riding shotgun with me into the next hour with Leanne McAdoo as well. But before I go any further, let me start getting into this USA Today article and then get Owen's take on this, because this illustrates everything we're dealing with. This is a tactic where I come out and I say, or you come out and you say, we have sources that Homeland Security plans to federalize the election and try to steal it from Trump. Then they come out, begin federalizing, and then have news articles saying, I'm discredited because I predicted exactly what would happen. That's be like if you got a guide to take you, say, shark fishing, as I've done with my son. And then you catch a 10-foot shark, a 6-foot shark, a 3-foot shark, and your limit on mahi-mahi and redfish. And then you tell the guide, this wasn't worth $1,000. You're horrible. You are a piece of filth. Again, they take our incredible success and the fact that we're dead on and just emblematically, like mind control, these aren't the droids you're looking for. Move along. You've got C-3PO and R2-D2 that you're looking for. You're going to get medals from Darth Vader for catching these droids that have the Death Star plans, and you just let them go right in front of you. So that's what they do with Stephen Bannon. You go read Bannon's writings and what he said. It's dead on. Dead on, and then he's emblematic in understanding how to reverse the slide of the Republic, how to empower the people, and a real plan for the reboot of America and the new Renaissance. Okay? People say, well, that's exactly what you say. We're not plagiarizing each other, folks. This is Americana. This is what it is, okay? We're students of history. And so you've got thousands of wise Americans, millions, you know, that are just advising Trump through the Twitter, through the Facebook, through the ether. But he already knows all this to himself better than we do. So it's more of just a sounding board. But you read this article, it's so illustrative. And you can read the same type of article in hundreds of publications today because they all get their orders and they regurgitate it. Pop it anytime, Owen. Bannon takes dark view on Islam. Hours of audio give window. They always act like, ooh, we found something secret. In his show on XM, ooh, they found a secret. We've revealed tapes of Alex Jones. We revealed tapes of Bannon. Hours of audio give a window into the thinking of top Trump advisor. And they go on to say he believes there's a fifth column of Islamicists merging with the left to destabilize America and end free speech. He believes there's a globalist elite plan to shut down free markets and consolidate control. That's all the public plan.
Alex, I think he believes. I think that I even experienced a little bit of that yesterday at the march, the Muslim State Capitol march, because, like I said, the Muslim American citizens that showed up there that wanted to talk, so most of them were fans of yours. A lot of them like Donald Trump. They just wanted to show up, you know, just because, hey, you know, I'm a Muslim American. This is an event.
Again,
I wanted to show that I'm here.
They got directed by the media to show up. They were actually good people on average. But again, they can now point at that crowd and say, these people are represented by the Democrats.
But the funny thing is, and we already pointed this out, most of the people that showed up were just white women who just wanted to be out there virtue signaling. But I think
the
key
here, by
the way,
we're not bashing white women. That's who's in command of all this.
The key here is, though, Alex, is that CARE, who's been running around organizing a lot of these things, the Council for American Islamic Relations, has connections to Hamas. And Sarsour, the lady, is from Palestine. Hello, people. Let's make the connections. So Steve Bannon is making these connections here And look, it's not about Muslim or Christian or anything. It's about evil people who want to destroy our way of life. Okay? And whatever reasons that they have for that, whether it be the U.S. interference overseas and all the stuff we've done over there, okay, we've called that out too. So we're with you on that page. But let's not sit here and completely swing the pendulum in the different direction and just say, oh my God, we've been so bad to the people in the Middle East. We just have to let those war-torn countries invade our nation so that they can collapse us.
Especially when it's a clear plan with Obama, Soros, Kerry, and Hillary, with Sutherland, the head of the UN refugee program, to flood the West to take us over. We can pull up Sutherland admits refugee plan to end Europeanness of Europe. The Pope says it's disgusting that Europe's Christian and he wants more Muslims. This is all anti-Christian garbage being openly pushed, and it's the opposite of what Martin Luther King talked about. When we come back, I'm going to read this article, get into the Anheuser-Busch brainwashing, and then play this Oprah Winfrey report. What else are you going to be breaking down?
Well, I've got more on just the left coming after Trump supporters. I'd also like to comment on that analogy you made. I think it's perfect. And then kind of a little thing I've been following, the White House petitions, the official website of the government. I'd like to get your take on something that I think might be going on there, Alex. This could be big.
All right. We'll be back with Owen Schroyer from Austin, Texas. I'm Alex Jones in Los Angeles for the Joe Rogan Experience. We'll be right back on the other side. This is history. This is the InfoWar.
The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Out in the streets, my friends. Out on the road. Coming to you from Los Angeles, definitely under globalist occupation. I'm going to have to revise some of the liners now, though, that from the tip of the spear on the front lines, restoring the republic, state by state, county by county, city by city. Because the globalists admit, under municipalization, man, they're smart, 30 years ago they began to target cities, even though they're not under our system, federalist system, having any power legislatively, to have the cities withdraw from the states and the federal government and to fully go under UN control. And the city of Austin is completely captured. So I need to cut new liners saying, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, under UN administration of control in retaken Texas. Because, I mean, literally, we're coming to you when I'm normally in Austin from Texas that we've almost retaken, literally. Patriot governor reversing the globalist onslaught, but from a captured city. It's a war. And that's why I'm in a captured city. Going to recapture it from Travis County, from Austin. And it's just crazy that, I'm not bragging about this, it's just true, that on my mom's side of the family, they raised Colonel Travis's son, and the heirs were involved in launching the whole operation. And on my dad's side, was obviously heavily involved as well. They came in from Alabama in the 1820s. My mom's family came in from New York in the 1820s. New York. So those are some Yankee side of the Texans. Does that mean I'm a Yankee only eight generations back in Texas? But they were Yankees then, so they still are. I think everybody was a Yankee at one point, but they were sophisticated out of New York and pretty much were the head honchos launching the whole operation with Sam Houston. And, of course, Andrew Jackson was behind the whole thing. Little wink, wink for everybody. That's in the history books now, but I was always brought up knowing that. And so... Long family history of working with Patriot presidents to expand the republic. And that is certainly what's going on right now. So get ready for it. And you notice that Trump's been saying he admires Andrew Jackson. So again, folks, get ready and get out of the way because this is the real deal. Now, before I get too confident, there's a real chance they could try to kill Trump. And they're definitely trying. I saw a lot of their people going to Capitol Hill today, and they had people around them wearing heavy body armor, the heaviest, boxing in the Supreme Court nominee and others. So they know the threat level is very heavy. And I know that Trump is surrounding himself with top generals who who are ready, if there is an attempt at a coup, to smash it quickly. But make no mistake, the entire world government system is being taken away from the globalists right now, and they are in a conniption fit. Well, sorry. You wanted to enslave the planet. You want to keep Latin America and Asia and Africa poor. Trump doesn't want any of that. He wants real prosperity worldwide. And America First is going to do that again. So just get ready. Globalism, as Ross Perot said, is a race to the bottom. Another great Texan. All right, let me get into this. And Owen Schroer, you can pop in anytime you want. Briefly here, I cannot stress to you enough how important it is that you send the articles and the videos and the links to our material out. I know you're already doing it. Do it more. It's having a big effect. We're beginning to turn the tide. And to support us and get super male vitality, every man out there should try this if you're over 40. See what happens to your libido, your energy, your stamina. It's very noticeable within 2 days. Secret 12, amazing, super absorbable organic vitamin B12, 10% off right now. Knockout, take one or two pills, incredible natural sleep aid. Biome Defense, the very best super wide strain probiotic out there. We have it in 50 billion active in each capsule and in 25 billion half strength. It's available at InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLive.com. We have 25% off on water filtration systems, 25% off on the great Alexa Pure Breeze systems. Comparable systems are $400, $500. InfoWarsStore.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. And let me explain how we can sell an air purifier that its leading competitor is basically the same system and is $500. Well, there's a system in media and in advertising where you decide to sell things for more, and a certain percentage of the public in actuaries that they've done in advertising and market research will buy it just because it's more expensive. Now, we've done the math, and I've talked to some top advertising experts. They believe I'd bring in more money if I sold things for higher prices, but I wouldn't get to as many people. And I just believe that you need to be treated the way I want to be treated. So I metaphysically cannot mark something up more than 100%. That sounds like a lot. We fund our operation on average 100% markup. Some things we have sales have like 20% markups. You can't operate like that, but they're lost leaders. So when I tell you you're getting really great deals, listen, before this came along, I bought for my house four or five $800 units. Now, granted, this was like 3-4 years ago. Those units have gone down to like 450 because things are miniaturizing, things are getting cheaper, things are getting less with electronics and, you know, stuff like that. But when this is $149, folks, at 250, it's a steal. And they tell me, Alex, you really ought to just pitch this at 250 and then you can make, you know, $60, $70 and we make that. But, you know, these units cost us a little over $100 and I don't know why you want to make just $20 on these. Well, we do this sometimes. So, you want good deals, this is it, okay? And so we need funding. Why don't you go buy this for every room in your house? Why? It'll make your life so much better with all the pollen, particulates, the garbage, especially if you live in a big city. Why don't you give them to your friends and family? We're at the tip of the spear. We're fighting our guts out, blood, sweat, and tears. We love you. You love us. We're winning. This is a magic hour in the fight for liberty right now, golden hour, and we need to fight while the sun's still up. Because believe me, a winter's coming. This is, I figured it out. This is just a humanity getting a quick breath before we go back under. And that may be 10 years we get a quick breath or 20. I'm just telling you, I can see it. And the big challenges we face are going to get so much bigger. I don't say that to be scary. I say it so we win. This is the long haul, folks. It's like it took me almost 22 years to get to this point. It's taken, you know, folks decades to get this point. We're building a platform for victory, building a platform of basic human understanding that's based on a world built for humans, not for the globalists that are anti-human. Now, you want to comment on that? I'm going to skip the next break so we have time to get to this Oprah Winfrey piece as well, and I want to get to this Anheuser-Busch piece and this Bannon piece I mentioned, but comments there, Mr. Schroer.
Well, the analogy that you made last segment really resonated with me because you talk about how the stormtroopers let the drones go by, basically passing on the greatest opportunity of their life. You've got all these people protesting, the bleeding heart liberals. You know, at the end of the day, they probably really do care about humanity. I mean, that's why they're out here motivated. Unfortunately, they've been misguided, they've been tricked, they've been misinformed, and now they're just total puppets. But to me, the analogy is You know, InfoWars are those droids. You are literally letting in, you are letting the information, you are letting the resistance that you've been so hungry for your entire life just pass by when you discount InfoWars or when you say we're discredited or debunked. And here's the thing. InfoWars is not perfect. I'm not perfect. Alex is never perfect. We've never claimed to be perfect.
But we want to empower those people.
Exactly. And we're real. That's the difference. We might not get it wrong.
It's all about keeping their supporters in the dark, desperate, confused, and alone. They actually use those words, folks. Your bosses are using you. They're laughing at you. And again, we're not talking to our regular listeners. We're talking to the prodigal sons out there who we want to come home. We want you to be part of the feast. We want you to be successful. We're here to help, folks. That's why the enemy hates us.
And that's why yesterday when we were talking and you mentioned the cult behavior, how the leaders in the cult are so protective over the young ones or over the minions, because they know that their ideologies in the cult are so weak and so shallow that if the minions, if the younger people actually have an open-minded conversation with someone from outside the cult, their cult's not going to exist anymore.
That's right. You go to a libertarian rally. Nobody's going to stop you talking to people that are in it. Nobody's going to say, you know, don't talk to them. But it's always just chant these mindless chants and then stay over here. You're in a cult. You're in a cult. That's why they're so upset to see black leaders celebrating Black History Month with Donald Trump. They're so upset to see black folks hugging him at his rallies. They're so upset to see their program to make minorities think they're not welcome at the Tea Party events is now being broken. And so their whole program is fading, so they're desperately hitting the race war button as hard as they can and doubling down on the money they're spending because they know as soon as we really come together and that love train, that Trump train comes through and we get that 2020 into 2024, that we're going to have this 79-year-old icon who spilt his guts into everything and energized us. We energized him. And now humanity is set on a stronger course to deal with the big questions of the universe.
And he really put it all on the line. I mean, you talk about his business, his family, his future. Everything. He put it all on the line. And it just continues to hit home more with me.
And InfoWars were early. And I'm not bragging, but our listeners and us, we put it early on the line. We put it all in, and look how much better the victory is. Now, let's get into this right now, and then I want to get to the Anheuser-Busch piece and the Oprah Winfrey piece. Here it is, USA Today, hundreds of these articles out today, same crap, different, you know what. Steve Bannon, who ascended in months from relative obscurity. Oh, yeah, Breitbart was just like, you know, five times bigger than most globalist publications. Obscurity because you said it was obscure. See, we're obscure. We're obscure. See, everything's a lie. Stephen Bannon, who ascended in months from relative obscurity. No, he already ascended because of his ideology.
He ascended because he was right all the time. He just kept being right and right and right.
I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
He just kept being right and right and right. All the news coverage they broke, just groundbreaking. Right, correct.
Absolutely.
That's how he ascended.
Stephen Bannon, who ascended in months from relative obscurity to become one of President Trump's most influential advisors, has said Islam is the most radical religion in the world, and the United States is engaged in a struggle for civilization, potentially leading to a major shooting war in the Middle East again. Trump installed Bannon, he's been friends with for 20 years. Oh, but it was just... Notice they lied. Oh, he just met him. Trump installed. He installed. He wasn't elected. Trump installed Bannon this week as a member of his National Security Council, taking the unusual step of installing a political advisor on the powerful White House body responsible for reshaping security and foreign policy. Far more significant may be the views he brings to the table, which represent a sharp break from how previous administrations approached security issues, particularly around Islamic terrorism. Yeah, we're going to call Islamic terrorism terrorism. In dozens of hours of audio recordings reviewed. Oh, see, they're the authority. USA Today reviewed. See how they spin everything? In dozens of hours of audio recordings reviewed by USA Today on the Breitbart News Daily Radio Show in 2015 and 2016, Bannon told his listeners that the United States and the Western world are engaged in a global existential war, close quote, and he entertained claims that the fifth column of Islamist sympathizers had infiltrated the U.S. government and news media. Those recordings preserved online. Oh, preserved. See, they caught them like it was a dirty, like putting porn in a black bag when you go out of the store. You know, oh, we preserved it. We found the buried bodies. Oh, they're so... Those recordings, preserved online, offer an often unfiltered window into the thinking of Trump's interview adverse senior advisor. He's busy advising the president now. The views mark a stark shift from foreign policy doctrine under the previous two administrations that were allied with Islam. You go to the Muslim marches, the women's marches, it's run by Muslims. It's all over the news. They let people in unvetted. There's clearly an alliance with Islam to flood Europe and the communist and socialist parties in Europe. All of this is happening. And what unifies us with Russia is they're standing up against radical Islam that is the dominant form taking over the world right now. So this goes on and on, acting like, because they go on to say how kooky and dangerous and weird it is that he's talking about Muslims being a threat. What world are they living on? Our whole way of life's having to be changed because of the ongoing Islamist attacks. This is the issue, and Trump's taking it on head on. Go ahead.
Well, and think about this. So either you're going to live, so all these radical Islamic attacks keep happening, right? Well, oh, then they'll say, well, you just think they're all a false flag. Okay, well, either they're happening or they're a false flag. So then you talk about what's going on in the Middle East.
Oh, it is a false flag because they let them in.
And, but it goes beyond that. As you well know, they started this chaos in the Middle East with their religious proxy wars. They continued to send funds and arms into the region. So there's this weird, the leftists want to see black and white. They don't want to see in the gray area. We called out the intervention, the U.S. intervention in the Middle East for years. You've been calling that out for years. False narratives to start these wars to try to re-manipulate currencies and borders and oil markets in those regions. Saudi Arabia is one of the major influencers of this. So what did we do? We put Donald Trump in office, who was against the Iraqi war, who called out potential false narratives from the 9/11 commission.
Right. He doesn't want a destabilization economy. He wants an economy based on real, winners and losers, non-zero sum game, transcending all that and not doing immoral, evil, bad things. He's a straight shooter, common sense, and it's the return of common sense that has them so upset. Now, I want to move on to the further balkanization. Let's play this Anheuser-Busch ad that will break down after we air it, where, again, the founder of Anheuser-Busch was an immigrant. And so now we would never have had this, wonderful watered-down beer or whatever. Sorry, I don't like it that much. They kind of pitch it as the everyman's beer, don't drink a craft beer, whatever. The point is Budweiser was good 30 years ago. I don't really like it today, but let's just move on from that. Budweiser funds anti-gun groups, open borders. They're globalist. Coors is the opposite, which I guess Coors is okay. Rocky Mountain Kool-Aid. I'm not really a big drinker these days. The point is that they're hyping that, oh, we're going to kill innovation. It's an anti-Trump ad. No, we're saying people from known terror states already banned by Obama before aren't going to waltz in here unfettered and then try to make us accept Sharia law. This is simple. The days of conquering and bullying us are over. Here's the ad. We'll get Owen's take on it, then get Mark Dice's.
You don't look like you're from around here.
You look like you're from around here, boy. Fell down in a ship. Why leave Germany?
I want to brew a beer.
Welcome to America.
I want to brew a beer.
I don't want it here. Go back home.
Yeah, go back home.
There was no travel ban from Germany.
Crap.
I don't remember a travel ban from Germany.
It's all just made up. Germans were like the second biggest group after the Scots and the Irish. Ever the English.
My family came from Germany in the 1730s, Alex.
Oh, the poor little German.
Thank you. But next time?
And the Germans were instantly accepted in this country.
And they illustrate the difficult journey he took. Yeah, that's the difficult journey. We don't want to just fly people over here from the dregs of the world.
Yeah, this is somebody that had a dream because he was in a caste system in Germany. They had served him until the 1880s, basically slavery. He couldn't do something he wanted over there in Germany, so he came here. But the whole point is they tested people at Ellis Island for TB by the 1850s.
Yeah, you had to stay there for weeks.
Through some type of vetting process. But again, of course, if you go to some place like New York City, where there's giant gangs that are based on being English, being Italian, being Catholic, being Protestant. People have always just killed each other over what street you live on or where you're from. Go to Hispanic areas, they'll have three or four gangs that kill each other, or black areas, the Crips and Bloods. And then they take this and just, again, sell it like we're the immigrants, we're the good people. Again, nothing against immigrants. They're just piling on to make it look like there's this big anti-immigrant sentiment when Trump's going to make it easier if you're not a criminal. and you have skills or you're young to come here. But we're not going to take 45,000 people that wear 6X underwear or people with syphilis or people with TB or people with leprosy. Or if we take you with leprosy, we're going to test for it and then put you in the hospital after, because it's illegal to turn loose somebody with leprosy or somebody with TB. But, oh, they do it all the time and then put them in schools with kids spreading it. And then Obama covered it up. How do you make up something of this magnitude, Mr. Schroyer?
Well, think about this, Alex.
Look at you as the progeny of ancestors that were German immigrants. Did your family tell you down the years how bad you were treated and how horrible it was and just how terrible it was and how they were mean to the Germans? Is that why half the German Hessian soldiers in the Revolutionary War deserted when they'd never deserted in Europe in huge continental wars because the Americans were so nice?
Well, actually, I grew up, and my family told me how privileged I was every day. They made sure I didn't take it for granted, and then I worked hard.
Look, I've got a bunch of German background, in my family, who came here from Alsatia and places like that, and from Bavaria. And no one ever talked about stuff like that. No one ever said America treated them bad. The only stuff was World War One. The start of World War One, there were some German towns that still spoke pure German, and they paranoidly took down their German flags and put up American flags and canceled Oktoberfest and stuff because they were afraid of offending anybody. Go ahead.
Well, here's what's amazing to me is that you've got the liberals, the Democrats, who, you know, and we all love planet Earth, but they view Earth as a fragile ecosystem. They want to make all of these regulations. They want to, you know, you can't have a fire, you can't have a cow fart, whatever it is, you can't have a car, because we need to protect this fragile Earth. Okay, well, we all agree Earth is fragile. We disagree on some of the science that you want to push forth and some of the, you know, anthropogenic climate change.
Saviors.
But here's the funny thing, Alex. They don't have that same thought process. They don't have that same vision towards America. You know, America is also very fragile, okay? Why don't the liberals and Democrats want to take the same
steps? That's right. America's only
6%
of the world population. It had half the wealth. If they want to go live under North Korea or Venezuela, there's all these other places that want to live like you do in your communist utopias, where people are in slave pits and women have their genitals cut off and are sold on slave blocks like Somalia and Sudan. Go to those heavenly places and sing Allah Akbar with your breast hanging out.
So I just found that terribly ironic to think, like, they'll do anything, they'll point fingers at anybody for anything that might hurt one tree, but they don't seem to have that same sort of protective nature over the country that gave them
everything.
No, no, no.
They're now coming out saying the UN's going to represent robots and vote and say that they have a consciousness and rights, but then there'll be big computer companies that have the robots they produce that now have rights that'll outvote us. Just like animal rights isn't about animal rights. There's good people that are for animal rights. I'm for treating animals better and humanely. The whole point is, I don't think you should be, you know, killing whales or whatever. The point is that it has nothing to do with that. It's about them controlling everything, using our guilt and using our concern as a way to get us to acquiesce to their control. I want to go out to break with this Mark Dice piece. I didn't get to the Oprah Winfrey review. I'm going to air that coming up at the next bottom of the hour, Owen. Leanne's coming in to co-host with you. We'll hear what she has to say about all this and more. But here is Mark Dice breaking down the situation with Anheuser-Busch, who, look, they sell it like they're the everyman drink, and then also they're, you know, for open borders and all the rest of it. No true American should drink Anheuser-Busch urine beer. It's globalist urine pissed in your face, literally peeing in your face. I'm sorry. This is a real pee-pee gate. Anheuser-Busch is the real golden shower, folks. And I'm not censoring them, criticizing them. They have their free speech. I would never drink their pissed beer to begin with. I apologize for you on the show. But you know,
hey, it's all right. They sold out to Belgium now. It's all right, Alex. They sold out to Belgium now.
Oh, okay. Of course, they did sell it to Belgium a long time ago.
It's InBev now.
And here's the deal. Who wants colonization by Muslims again?
I mean, thanks to the Democratic leadership in St. Louis, by the way. Thanks to the terrible Democratic leadership in St. Louis. Sorry, Alex, go ahead.
That's right. The unions ran it off. Okay, let's go ahead now and talk about the anti-American company that literally thinks that they can just mark their territory in our face. Here is Anheuser-Busch.
I'm sorry to tell you, Budweiser drinkers, but your beloved beer commercial this Super Bowl Sunday is liberal propaganda. The 60-second spot chronicles the journey of Anheuser-Busch co-founder Adolphus Busch as he's immigrating to America in 1857 from Germany. And there's a scene as soon as he arrives on shore where someone says, "You're not welcome here."
Welcome to America.
You're not wanted here. Go back home.
It also cleverly teases the anti-immigrant theme with the opening scene of the commercial, with someone turning to him and saying, "You don't look like you're from around here." At the end of the commercial, you realize that that was actually Eberhard Anheuser, and the scene depicts Adolphus Busch meeting Eberhard for the first time to then start the Anheuser-Busch Brewing Company, which obviously brews Budweiser beer. Now, I'm all for a touchy immigrant success story, and there are many. And in fact, the last I checked, Asian Americans have the highest income in the United States of America. But at this point, you can't help but see this as another anti-Trump propaganda piece, which I wouldn't be surprised if it was paid for by George Soros, the puppet master who is behind most of these protests. And since we're on the topic of immigration, we should probably clear up some of the fake news that's surrounding the supposed immigration ban, because it's not an immigration ban. President Trump's executive order puts a temporary freeze, a 90-day, three-month freeze on immigration from seven countries that the mainstream media says are predominantly Muslim. But guess what? There are 40 other predominantly Muslim countries, overwhelmingly Muslim countries, which are allowed to have immigrants come here. The seven countries that President Trump has put a temporary immigration freeze on are the
countries. Full report's up on Infowars.com. And by the way, there are 14 Islamic countries that do not allow anybody from Israel or who is Jewish to come in. And there's three of them that don't let Americans in. And the list goes on and on. A bunch of them don't let Buddhists in. Again, these aren't free societies. These are people that, on average, believe they can run our lives. Now, a lot of Muslims that came here ran away from that, okay, and they want to be westernized. 80% of Iranians in major polls are over, don't like the mullahs. I get it. I don't want to hurt people that happen to have an Islamic background. I know Islam's had some times and periods where it was a stabilizing force and actually produced a lot of science. But in its inception, it was warlike, and it certainly is warlike right now. And everything, as you know, inside Islamic countries is called the House of Islam. Everything outside of it is called the House of War. We're going to be back with Leanne McAdoo and Owen Schroyer. Got a lot of clips I'm going to get to as well, and a special report, I promise, on Oprah Winfrey. And then I will tell you who's coming up hosting the fourth hour as well today. I think that's Roger Stone officially launching his book today. Don't forget, 25% off on the water filtration systems and air purifiers and a lot more at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Please get products you need for your family and support the broadcast. A true win-win. We'll be right back. Thank you all.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
We are back. Have we gotten Leanne in the studio yet? I think she's coming up. Owen, I am just chomping at the bit here to hear Leanne's view as a woman on the bizarre spectacle in Austin, but especially in D.C. and Germany, of women screaming Allah Akbar and wanting to convert to Islam, and people coming out like Madeleine Albright, who I guess converted to Nazism. Her dad did to help round up fellow Jews. It's always the same. And now she wants to convert to Islam. It really is comical how disconnected they are. They still believe, because they're in these little globalist hives in L.A. and New York, that they're taking over the world, that they've brainwashed everyone, because they look at the broken-back, servile, brainwashed zombies that attend their colleges that are putting out worthless degrees. I mean, I don't think they realize, undoubtedly, the worm has turned. A major tipping point is here.
Well, Alex, and just to go back real quick to the Budweiser ad you were talking about, I'm expecting to see a lot of that propaganda during the Super Bowl, especially considering Lady Gaga will be doing the halftime show, who, let's recall, put on a Nazi SS uniform and campaigned for Hillary Clinton. She'll be hosting the Super Bowl halftime show, and of course, we'll see more ads. But you know, Alex, I'm from St. Louis. I can tell you, just from some of the experiences I had with some of the Bushes, some of the lineage of the original Adolphus Busch, they were patriots, Alex. Most likely Trump voters. I'm talking about country people shooting guns, going hunting, you know, cigars, like true American patriots. And look, they've had their history. They've got controversy in their history.
Sure. Let's not be mean to the family. A foreign globalist EU group has bought Anheuser-Busch and is using it to run their name down.
And I think, again,
I mean, let's just face it. I don't like the beer.
And that's perfectly fine. And I think a lot of that has to do with some of the controversy in the past. And I think they were sick of dealing with the liberal establishment. If you go back, Budweiser and Anheuser-Busch used to actually run some of the most patriotic ads. And after 9/11, they had this one ad campaign. It was called Real American Heroes. After 9/11, they changed that and they made a statement saying, our Real American Heroes was a joke. We no longer want to have this ad campaign because the real American heroes were the firefighters, the policemen, and the military people in America. So they changed their whole ad campaign. But that's a whole side issue. We'll be looking for that propaganda during the Super Bowl halftime show.
Alex, sure, I'm sure Budweiser, back in the day, beer's gotten better. And you know, back when I was, 16 drinking a beer, Budweiser tasted pretty good. What do we have? Tecate and maybe, Dos Equis, which compared to Budweiser, I think is a better beer. There's some great American beers. The point is, Budweiser is not an American beer anymore. It's just like everything else has been hijacked. And notice, as it became not an American beer, I mean, it's just undrinkable in my view.
Well, Alex, you mentioned the UN earlier, and I wanted to bring this up. This is something that I've been following for a while, but I've never noticed this before. Petitions.whitehouse.gov. This is where you can go to find the petitions that go to the White House. This is the official government site. Now, like I said, I've been following this for years. I've been signing these petitions for years. Normally, they get some traction, but a lot of them don't meet their goals. This is one that was up January 24th. Defund the United Nations, get the U.S. out of the UN, support H.R. 193. And you go through the text in all of this, Alex. It talks about UN Agenda 21. It talks about UNESCO. It talks about the UN expenses that the U.S. has to endure. And magically, this is the first time I've ever seen this, and I know it's fake news, has one signature, Alex. White House petitions are saying that this only has one signature. I know that's a lie because it had one signature, and I've signed it since. This has more than one signature. So I'm curious, now that Trump is in the White House, now that we have a White House administration that will
Trump
actually listen to the people.
Trump has such a big job having to dig out all the computerized sleeper cells and sabotage and minions and operatives. We're a country in civil war with globalist, operatives in everything that have to be dug out and dealt with. We're all in a modern thriller science fiction movie with a weird progressivist cult that wants to destroy the country, whose maxim is F you white males, even though they're white males.
I think we need to flood petitions.whitehouse.gov and get our message to the president. They cannot stymie these numbers anymore. This is ridiculous.
Absolutely. We've got to ferret out what company's being used, who's over all this. Believe me, Trump is ferreting it all out.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions.
Here we are, February 1st, 2017, already well into this new year. President Trump's been in for, 11, 12 days? And we've got a new Supreme Court nominee who they've confirmed unanimously 10 years ago, and who looks like he'll be able to be seated, just victory after victory, who is as conservative and strict constructionist, pro-gun, pro-sovereignty, as Antonin Scalia. So very, very exciting. A protege, a friend of Scalia. Pull up photos of the two hunting together. This is a big victory. This is a big, big deal. Also, we have a Democrat congresswoman from Hawaii coming out, joining Trump, and pointing out that she went to Syria, met with Assad, saw what ISIS and al-Qaeda are doing, and that Obama is very evil and Hillary are for helping try to overthrow that regime. So more and more you see people doing the right thing and standing up for what's right. This is a big, big, big deal. And Dr. Jerome Corsi got from Israeli sources, I began to report that it was Israel that was going to nominate. No, Israel talking to other countries has supported, but it was brought to them. I've now got the full communication. He's not talked to them on the phone. This came from high-level Israeli intelligence right up at the top of the government this is going to be announced soon. But we brought it to you so quickly. Of course, he was so excited that we didn't get to the rest of the story that Israel's happy to support it, but it was not actually progenerated by Israel. But Rob News getting those clips together to put that out as well. Why not give him a peace prize? If they gave Obama one for starting all these wars and being at war every day, calling for peace with Russia, calling for peace through strength, calling for wiping out ISIS and al-Qaeda that's been used as a globalist Islamist invasion force, Merkel opening up Germany. I mean, all this madness. Leanne, I've asked the guys to put this together. I know they've been busy. I don't know if they've ever given it to us in the file. But I've got women saying Allah Akbar here in the U.S., in Germany, putting hijabs on, the signs saying put hijabs on, the people leading the march in D.C. for Soros being Islamicist with connections to Hamas that say women's rights is Sharia law. This is so upside down bizarro when he's barring people from Somalia and Sudan where they sell women on slave blocks in the town square. Mm-hmm. ISIS sells women into sex slavery as young as five. But that's okay because it's religious and the left loves Islam. I don't understand why the left is in such a love fest with it. And is it surreal for you as a woman to hear America's bad to women and the West is bad to women mm-hmm. and then to see all this?
Right. Well, I know Owen Schroyer was actually out at a rally the other day and a woman was actually, or actually that might have been Joe Biggs, but she was actually explaining to him Sharia law is in line with the Constitution. So now that's the new fake news, the alternative facts, that Sharia law is just as good as the Constitution.
Oh, they
that's
were telling me all this. I have all here. This on tape. I'm going to put a compilation together. Yeah. I mean, I know I shot hours of live footage out there, but I've got it all on tape. You go out there, they'll tell you. So I really want our reporters to go out and keep talk to these people mm-hmm. and document that, yes, we're an Islamic movement. We want to take over and we're in command.
And we want everyone to believe that Sharia law is compliant with the Constitution. And that's why we should be able to practice it here. And, you know, forget about the female genital mutilation. The one of the founders there of leading the Women's March, she was all for the female genital mutilation. Actually, a woman who had survived that and is speaking out against it, she, Laura Sarsour, she actually said, you know, I wish I could just take her entire vagina away. She's, you know, bad for women. Like these are the people that the left is propping up as their leaders for their movement.
It's like Uma Abedin. I mean, her mother wrote the book, literally the paper law on how the right of women is to have their genitals cut off. Mm-hmm. See, it's a good thing. Stockholm syndrome. This is crazy land. Well, and now we first reported from our NYPD sources and had other guests on that had similar sources like Doug Hagman from the Northeast Intelligence Network, that indeed Wiener was being investigated and the child porn had been found on his phone. That is now in the news yesterday and today. And they're saying, well, it's just, you know, underage girls and him sending stuff to them. Is that really that bad? Mm. Look, of course, this is just the tip of the iceberg. They don't want to prosecute him because it opens up a whole labyrinth of what's going on in D.C.
Well, obviously,
and New York. And right here where I'm sitting, Los Angeles.
Well, obviously, the Clintons didn't think it was that bad. Pedo Island there with Epstein, you know, so it's just underage girls, you know. And that's the thing is, where is the outrage? Where are all these women protesting when you see ISIS taking the Yazidi girls, 5,000 plus women abducted, turned into sex slaves, tortured, mutilated, have all their female was, quote, rights?
One six-year-old girl in Syria was, quote, raped to death by over 100 men.
Right. Where's the outrage there? And the outrage knowing that it was President Obama and his administration that was in charge of all this, calling them the JV team. No outrage there for these women that are suffering under this brutal regime.
Well, I mean, look, they want to abuse women. They are the party of death and destruction along with the Republican leadership. And so they always claim they're resisting what they're involved in. Mm-hmm. That's why so many Homeland Security deputy heads end up getting caught being pedophiles by people that are good inside Homeland Security. We're dealing with a satanic network of pedophiles. And again, we can put the article on screen. Just type in Anthony Weiner being investigated for child pornography. They're looking at indictments right now. Mm-hmm. That's all over the New York newspapers. And they're saying, let's be easy on him. Kind of like Salon has articles promoting pedophilia. So this mm-hmm. is the new civil right. And again, just like they want to teach your five-year-old how to be a tranny, they're going to next want to teach your five-year-old, hey, your five-year-old's allowed to go on a date, you know, with somebody like Anthony Weiner. They're allowed to love. That's what NAMBLA says. They want to have kids as young as three out of your backyard. If they see the van and they say, we have candy, we have puppies, I'm serious, mm-hmm. that your child has a right to go because of love, little hearts.
Right.
That's why they dress up in teddy bear outfits when they rape the kids. They just busted a big ring of these people in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is one of the worst states, folks. Just hardcore pedophilia going on there. I know folks that have lived in Pennsylvania that personally said they knew the DuPonts well. Satanism, pedophilia, it's just rampant, ladies and gentlemen. Leanne?
Yeah, and to think that they're actually trying to label pedophilia as a different type of sexual orientation, that it's totally normal. We're so accepting, we're so loving of all these different gender orientations and you know, whatever anyone's into,
they're just live and let live. At all.
Pedophilia is next in line for acceptance. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. Owen's got a story here where this.
This just broke today, and I just got the story. I haven't really been able to look into it too much, but the headline from KTLA: 474 arrested, 28 sexually exploited children rescued during statewide human trafficking operation.
So this is in California.
So this is actually out there in LA where you're at, Alex.
Think about it. They had the 1,000 plus people that were on the list. Pedophiles actually on the list there who were fostering children. Mm-hmm. 1,000 plus names.
You covered that.
Let's be clear. There is a cult. And it's battled. Good guys and bad guys in government. Government's not the enemy. It's unconstitutional. Government's the enemy. There are literal pedophile rings. They just busted one in Pennsylvania. Just type in the Shining image of man in teddy bear outfit. And it's non-pornographic. But it shows where she's seeing the ghost. You know, having a psychic event of what happened that was evil in the hotel, and it was rich men abusing children. And that's what the whole Shining's about. That's what Stanley Kubrick was telling the public is the elite are into pedophilia. It's wrong. It's evil. It's bad. And I was even told by folks in the family that he was aware of this and trying to expose it. And again, they dress up in these teddy bear outfits when they rape the kids. And again, just absolutely giant rings of these people at Penn State, you name it. And there's a civil war right now in the government trying to roll up these pedophile rings. And I want to explain. It's psychic vampirism. Whether you believe in the spiritual realm or other dimensions, they've been proven to be accurate by mathematicians now and high-power radio telescopes and spectrometers and other devices. And that's why they're like, we found other dimensions. There's something behind it. There's something projecting this. There's other things coming in and out. They're now picking it up, okay? But there's bad stuff in the universe that wants to take the energy of a child, a seedling, that's supposed to learn and grow and have free will and all these experiences in the universe and traumatize them. Mm-hmm. And it leads through pedophilia right through torturing and the murder of children. That's why all major psychopaths that actually get caught say, I was doing it because the devil told me, demons told me, I was doing it for them. And that's just the psychology of these people. No, it's every culture has these people, and they don't live forever, but they are basically cultural and psychic vampires. So when you go look at a leftist event and they look like they've had half their blood sucked and they look like they're dying, it's because even if they're not out raping kids, they're under a spirit of the vampire.
Right.
And so everything in them is sucked and empty and horrible and cold and depressed. And their god is the state, the king vampire, Count Dracula, the dragon, as the Bible calls it. It's all allegories of this. And they're begging him for power. And he says, hurt them. Take over. Right. The children are yours. Dominate them. And I will fulfill you. So this is satanic. Now, that's the big secret. Go ahead.
Yeah. Man. No, I agree. The spiritual warfare, whatever this dark energy that's kind of controlling this planet, it feeds off of fear. It feeds off of torture. So whenever
and who has the greatest fear? Children, right. Terrified, begging in a subterranean pit, raped and tortured for months.
Mm-hmm. So when you see like the drug cartels chopping off people's limbs and heads and torture, the dark energy, that's what it feeds off of. That's what it needs to continue controlling this planet, which is why, you know, you're always talking about how important it is for us to tap into our humanity, to trust our gut instincts, to be able to feel that and trust our emotions. But we don't even know, you know, how to trust ourselves anymore because our human instincts have been exploited. And presently we're seeing that rolling out with this election cycle, how everything is ramped up to 11. Everything that Donald Trump does, it's just devastating. It's went straight to Hitler level, you know? So everyone is just all...
Oh, and he fired the AG a Monday night. CNN had the headline, The Monday Night Massacre, Unprecedented Evil. It's just the most horrible thing ever. We're going to go to break, and I want to get Owen's take on that as well as Leanne's when we come back. Then we've got some other stories we're going to be hitting on that Leanne and Owen have. And then I'm going to air Oprah Winfrey, The Truth About Oprah Winfrey, special report. You know, it's powerful. She supports the global depopulation program on a planetary scale. We'll be right back. I'm Alex Jones, Infowars.com. Spread that link. They're trying to censor it. And this is an Infowar, a war on for our minds. most important thing. Here's the most important thing to understand about the nationwide roundup of pedophiles from Pennsylvania to Los Angeles, California, to the impending indictment of Anthony Weiner for child pornography. This is all part of the Trump effect. As the directives going out, it doesn't matter how big they are or what it does to the government or how damaging it is in the news media. The gloves are off with pedophiles and the pedophile network in this country. And this is all part of President Trump and the new era that's dawning as we take on these truly satanic forces that represent the Democratic Party and some of their infiltrators inside of the Republican Party. Worldwide, we're dealing with very, very sick, evil people. And that's why the globalists are allied with radical Islam. And I broke that down in an earlier report. And at that point, we'll cut that piece, just for everybody watching. We'll put that on the front of that whole gestalt we just laid out with Leanne and Owen, moving forward through all the things that are currently happening. The journey is the destination for these people. They love ISIS raping and murdering children. Radical Islam is a pedophilia-based system. Go read the Quran. Go look at it all. I mean, this is hardcore, folks. This is a battle against good and evil. Owen Schroyer, Leanne McAdoo.
Well, Alex, I just want to make this clear again. I believe that Linda Sarsour is a Hamas agent, okay? And I think there's enough ties via the FBI linking CARE to Hamas and Sarsour being from Palestine to make a fair assumption there. And this is what I experienced when I was out talking to some of the Muslim people.
Let's say this.
People.
You have suspicions you think she should be further investigated.
I think that there needs to be an investigation into Linda Sarsour. And I think that there's enough ties that we can see there right now. Even the FBI admits that there needs to be more of an investigation here. So that's something I would like to see. And then maybe people will start looking at her as someone to idolize when they find out she might be working with Hamas. But that's an investigation that I guess we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Well, we know leftist women are actually getting off on this. Leanne, what is it like for you to see topless women running around supporting Islam when they would have their breasts cut off for doing that in an Islamic country?
Well, that's when you know that we have reached peak madness, because they are defending this religion that said we're going to be taking over the world, and they it's like, how do they stand next to each other when on the one end you have these women saying we need to cover ourselves entirely in order to be respectful, and then you have these other topless women saying, yay, we're so freedom and loving and we love Islam. I mean, it's peak
and they don't want
madness.
Women objectified, but every feminist rally I go to, it's like screaming cuss words and talking about their body parts. And
they have Miley Cyrus.
Like I'm some right winger that can't handle it.
Yeah, and they use people like Miley Cyrus, Madonna, Lady Gaga, who, I mean, in their videos are dancing around half naked.
Gyrating.
Okay, whatever. Like, whatever. That's fine. I'm not going to complain about it. Just don't sit here and say, oh, objectification of woman, as you're up there literally grabbing
with your
own.
When they see a man who's wearing the pants with his good-looking wife or girlfriend who's dressed like a classic woman in a beautiful dress, they're like, look at you. You're controlled. No, you want to control her. You want to pimp her. And I've told the story many times of Shane Steiner's wife. We're at a bowling/pool hall with our kids, you know, nice family place, and we have these weird little short lesbians. Nothing against them. They like women. The point is, you know, I'm a libertarian, but the point is they come over, literally one with a cigarette pack in their white James Dean shirt, trying to muscle into us to try to hit on his wife. I mean, she started laughing at them. But they're so delusional, they think they're men, Leanne.
No, I've experienced that myself, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, well, describe it. Describe what it's like when a woman does what they claim men do, objectifying. Hey, toots, want to go for a ride, baby, in my Cadillac? I mean, it's literal. They try to act like guys. It's really funny.
Yeah, I mean, either
way. They had duck's ass haircuts, everything.
Yeah, either way, it's just a little bit like, okay, you know, back off, whatever. It's a weird energy to have that. But I wanted to talk about this one story. You're about to talk about Oprah. Well, here we also have Whoopi Goldberg, right? She's on she's on The View, which I just hate
she
that show
She was supposed
so
to move to Canada,
much.
Too. She was supposed to be gone.
We are talking about how they're saying Sharia law is, you know, compliant with the Constitution, just total madness, Wally World. Well, she was arguing on Tuesday's broadcast of The View about whether Donald Trump's values differ from those of the Taliban. So she's basically saying that Donald Trump is just as bad as the Taliban. And she actually had a little bit of pushback.
That's true.
A little pushback on it. And he's saying, yeah, don't you think it's a little different chopping off people's heads? She's like, nah, if he says you're fired, that's just as bad as the Taliban chopping off people's heads.
Let's talk about the Constitution.
I didn't know you said that. Owen, stay there. I want to get your comment on that when we come back. Owen Schroyer, Leanne McAdoo in the great Austin studios that you, the listeners, built. We'll be back. And I'm in L.A. doing the Joe Rogan Experience coming up in a couple hours.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
All right, I want to air this Oprah Winfrey piece, the truth about Oprah Winfrey, here in a moment. And then we're going to continue with Roger Stone hosting the fourth hour. I'll probably host a little bit with him as well. But here it is. Oprah to join 60 Minutes this fall. Well, I think it's important to understand, ladies and gentlemen, exactly what Oprah Winfrey has been up to and what she stands for. She is a slick devil. Madeleine Albright, people like that are not. Yeah, Madeleine Albright, was it good 500,000 Iraqi children died for this? Oh, yes, it was very good. She is there pushing, bigger than here in the U.S., she's huge worldwide, pushing Africans to believe they should be poor, shouldn't have anything. She's got this weird fake New Age Christian religion to get them under her control. She's involved with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And people need to understand that they are preying on Africa. For me, the litmus test is if you're supporting basically forcing people through economic control to have abortions, then you are beyond a Nazi. And Oprah Winfrey is up to her eyeballs in the most secret Bill and Melinda Gates level meetings. I mean, she's at meetings where there's five people, okay? I mean, she's in the upper round table, okay? And she's a bad person. So people need to know. That's what makes me so mad when I see brainwashed black people, you know, under the control of the globalists, having no idea. I'm literally, literally trying to save them. And not out of some white savior cosmology. If they're under this, I'm going to be under it too. And I, at a metaphysical gut spiritual level, care about them. But I'm also doing it out of selfishness, just as an intellectual. If you think they can get those people and that you're safe, you're crazy. That's one of the globalists' biggest mistakes is they think because they're powerful that they're insulated from what they're doing. Nobody's insulated. This all comes back on you. Call it reap what you sow, karma, whatever. It's instant in my life. Now, before I go any further, the Making of a President 2016, now exclusively available, signed at InfoWarsStore.com, comes with a nameplate. He's going to have a big job ahead of him because we've had people buy thousands of the books. It's 20% off out of the gates because I just love the audience and I want to be dominant and competitive and even sell more of these than Amazon. But get the books there and help support the broadcast and Roger Stone's work. It is just amazing inside, the color photos, the history, all of it. This baby is amazing. Big hardcover, great gift, a great blueprint for the future and a great way to celebrate and remember the victory we've had. Every coffee table, every dental office, every barber shop, every pastor, everybody needs to be given a copy of this. This is what you should give people in your family that are kind of under brainwashing, saying, listen, understand what really happened. For once, we read publications by your people. Read this. You know, come over to the other side. Find out why leftists don't ever want people to talk to their activists. Because this I've now read 80% of the book. I got up to you know, towards the end here and the whole blueprint for the future, but it's a very important book. We also have 25% off of water filtration and Alexa Breeze air filters that are just such good deals that everybody needs. And a lot of other specials on nutraceuticals, InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, or call toll free 888-253-3139. Now let's go ahead and go back to Owen Schroyer, who was trying to comment, recap that, Leanne, what Whoopi Goldberg has said. I think we even have the clip. If we can later, let's dig that up. Leanne?
Okay, so she was speaking on a broadcast of The View about, is Donald Trump, his values differ from those of the Taliban regime? She says, we keep hearing about terrorists hating our American values. Let me ask you now, we have had a leader who's repeatedly demeaned women, called on the media to shut up, specifically wants to give preferential treatment based on religion. Are these values really much different than the Taliban? And so then Jedediah Bela gives her a little bit of pushback. She's in shock. And she's like, no, I've been thinking about this. You know, have our values changed? What's happened? Are we still fighting? So she's saying, so basically you're saying Donald Trump's values are American values. The presidents come and go. Americans' values don't change. She's sitting here saying that these values are in line with the Taliban. She said, I think there's definitely a difference between the Taliban who's beheading people and chopping off heads and an American president that you may disagree with. Whoopi Goldberg says, but if he said, I don't like what you did, you're fired. Is that different? Yeah, that's a lot different than chopping off people's heads. And
that's a quote. The video's on Daily Caller. It's on InfoWars. I mean, literally talking to tens of millions of viewers. The View still has a big audience. Mm-hmm. Telling people chopping someone's head off is the same as saying on a show that's about competition, you're fired. That's mm-hmm. like these trophies everybody gets for participation. I remember I was in soccer when that all started when I was like 6 years old, and I wasn't very good and very coordinated then. And I remember feeling weird that I got a trophy, even at like 6 years old at the pizza place. I remember them handing it out, and I said, I shouldn't get the trophy. It should be whoever got the most goals mm-hmm. and whoever got the most blocks or saves. And it just, it was weird. It was really, really weird. And now it's like, so to say you're fired is the equivalent of taking someone and murdering them. Again, this just shows how they've taken their mental illness and are just broadcasting. Because I think Whoopi Goldberg is living in a fantasy land, Owen.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff that honestly angers me, Alex, because honestly, I feel like Whoopi Goldberg needs to be arrested. Because look, who watches The View? Mm. White women. Older white women. That's the only people that watches The View. Who's out at all these protests? The white women that watch The View. Right. That's where they get their view of the world. Now, I want to talk about the Constitution and Sharia law here, Alex, before we get off.
I want to get to that in the air, though. And I rarely disagree with you, but come on. Whoopi Goldberg, I mean, are you being sarcastic? Needs to be arrested? I know she's equating head chopping and saying it's no big deal, but she's not calling for head chopping. I mean, she's kind of a moron. I mean, she has free speech.
Here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that she needs to be cuffed and put in jail. I'm saying that that thought process, mm-hmm. that push towards that reality needs to be
it's
arrested.
It's not jail. It's called a yes. rubber room.
It needs to be stopped.
It needs to be stopped. It needs to be just stopped right now. They need to stop this off. They're the ones that are inciting the violence.
Right. That's what I'm saying is that they have turned everything up to 11. So not only are you getting it at CNN, who calls everything
chaos. Yeah, they're trying to start a civil war. And at a certain point, somebody's being held accountable right. when you've got the New York Times writer saying, somebody hurry up and kill Trump. I mean, I get it.
Really, right. She should just be fired, but they continue to draw the white women so they get the views. But here's what I want to ask you, Alex, and I want to talk about the Constitution and Sharia law in a
Molly,
moment.
We're not just bashing white women. Literally, we've been to these things all over the country. And in Germany, it's white women with men that walk behind them. And the man goes, I walk behind my wife. And it's like, okay, why don't you walk side by side like equals that are humans? This is just such a freaking cult, man.
Oh, it's weird.
It's crazy. And to go back to 60 Minutes with Oprah, Alex, I'd like to hear your historical perspective on this. I remember growing up in the 90s when 60 Minutes was like must-watch TV. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted to watch 60 Minutes. They always had groundbreaking investigations.
You know why they did? I mean, my dad's saying the hospitals in Dallas were killing people for their organs. And then literally 5 years later, the very hospital he said was caught. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So 60 Minutes used to be a very respected news program, must-watch news on Sundays. And then after the 90s, it slowly dwindled, lost their audience. And essentially now I feel like has lost almost all credibility. Well, in the last half a year, it feels like maybe 60 Minutes is kind of making a resurgence. They've had some good investigative reports come out. So now 60 Minutes may be trying to save face here, be an actual integrity-driven broadcast.
Well, sure.
So they have
their ratings have gone back up a little bit because they've been doing some hard hitting and been less partisan. Well, I mean, take Oprah. She's a heavy hitter. She has a lot of charisma. She has a big fan base. Her return to broadcast TV is a big deal. That's why we just want to remind people who she is. If she was a good person, we'd be cheering her on. But I don't want to interrupt you before I play this piece. The truth about Oprah Winfrey, when you were trying to get into Sharia law.
Well, I just think that they're putting Oprah Winfrey in there to try to stymie 60 Minutes from being filled with integrity, truthful broadcast again. But here's the thing with Sharia law and the Constitution. Alex, some of the Muslim people I talked to yesterday said that Sharia law says that the law of the land comes before Sharia law. Okay. Now, these were people that I talked to that listened to us. They might not agree with everything we said, but they listened to us. They know we're real news. They voted Donald Trump. They knew that Hillary Clinton was basically the devil incarnate.
So it's surprising how many Muslims voted for Trump. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a paradox. Some of them are the hardest working, good family people, treat their families good. Their daughters are going to school to be doctors and scientists. And you know, and then because that's all the Iraqis and people I knew that had actually fled, you know, oppression. And
well, exactly. Here.
They were like the first generation, though. We're getting the like the dregs and the jihadis now coming over here. And so a lot of Muslims are on national TV saying, no, I support Trump. You can't bring somebody in from Sudan.
So here's my issue. Leaders of the Muslim movement, if you want to say like Sarsour, why don't they mention that? Why aren't they out here saying, folks, we love our religion. Sharia law.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why they don't decry attacks and suicide bombings and things. Because radical, aggressive, militarized, expansionist, orthodox Wahhabi Islam that has the most funding is expanding and runs the show because it'll kill you or target you or go after you if you're a reformationist like Martin Luther. So I think Islam needs a major reformation. There is a lot of very beautiful things in the Quran. I've read the Quran several times. I find a lot of it to be really truthful, really thought-provoking. The other parts to be completely crazy. And I know it's complex. There's different angles. I'm not attacking Muslims to say that. Mm-hmm. People can find stuff out of context in the Bible and say similar things. I don't want a war with Islam. But here's the deal. Just like Malcolm X would say, I didn't go to Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on me. I mean, the Islamists are pouring into the whole world. The more you bend over to them, the more they attack, Owen.
And I just think that the leaders, if that's true, the Constitution over Sharia law, they need to be vocalizing that. They need to be hitting that hard.
Well, that's what they say on TV. They don't, you know, we don't want to expand. We don't want Sharia law. But in all the major mosques, it's being taught. And sorry, we don't have a state-run religion here. This is America. Congress shall make no law restricting their establishment of religion, prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's why Trump can't ban them for being Muslims, only because they're from terrorist, dangerous countries. That's called the First Amendment. But notice the left only wants it when it helps them. They don't want separation of church and state when they're running the show, or when they've got faith-based initiatives. I'm going to skip this break to have more time. Here is the Oprah Winfrey piece, The Truth About Oprah Winfrey. We'll be back with final comments from Owen Schroyer, Lan McAdoo, and then Roger Stone, hosting the fourth hour, will join us hopefully a little bit early. Here's the report. Tonight, we're going to discuss the truth about Oprah Winfrey. She's a beautiful, talented woman. But for decades, she has met secretly with David Rockefeller, Bill Gates, and others to promote a world government program that is designed to reduce the African population alone by at least 50%.
Behind closed doors on this New York campus, a secret gathering of some of the world's most powerful people. Gates, Buffett, Bloomberg, Winfrey. It was like, well, it was like the Super Friends.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes.
Together with others at the meeting, including George Soros, Ted Turner, David Rockefeller, they're worth more than $125 billion.
That much money, that much power around one table. It begs the question, what were they doing? What were they scheming? Total world domination?
It's been said millions of times that truth is stranger than fiction. And that's been said because it's true. You look at somebody like Oprah Winfrey, who has all this talent and all this empathy and who can convince you to trust her. And then you research who she works for and who bankrolled her. And it's so nightmarish that you're pinching yourself thinking it's a nightmare and that you should wake up. When I saw her in the news in the last few days being announced as a contributor to 60 Minutes, it was a perfect fit. 60 Minutes, this deceptive so-called investigative news magazine that selectively investigates what it wants and ignores the rest. But looking at Oprah Winfrey and her, you get a car and you get a car and all of her, the secret stuff and her programs that are so little known in this country to promote like a world religion, Christianoid garbage in Africa and to indoctrinate African children through her program with Bill and Melinda Gates and others like David Rockefeller to teach Africans that they can't have a car, they can't have air conditioning, and that they shouldn't even have children because they don't have value. Imagine if you heard that from a white supremacist. You wouldn't even be able to believe it. But much less from Oprah Winfrey. And that's why she pushes it. She's the black face on the New World Order. She's the woman that was behind Obama. She's the one that puts her billions of dollars into tax-free foundations so they can't be taxed, just like Bill Gates, just like his wife, Melinda Gates, just like Warren Buffett and others. So I want to challenge all of you to do research into the weird world government Luciferian system she pushes. And to go read for yourself ABC News, the London Guardian, and others that did whitewashes on the fact that she's trying to set up a world government to reduce populations. Listen, once people become industrialized, they stop having as many children. In fact, they start going negative, 1.3, 1.4 children for every two adults. But to sell Africa and the rest of the third world that they're ugly and they don't have value, that it's beautiful and wonderful for them to just roll over and die, is truly sick. Now, realize the globalists are conditioning the third world to flood the United States and Europe and to be very anti-Caucasian, anti-white. Just because a lot of them have been brainwashed and turned into political zombies of globalist conquest doesn't mean we stoop to that level of programmed people. We realize they're victims and stand up for the truth and stand up for justice. But please, we're just showing you a few news articles here today. Research her tax exemption. Research the globalism, the UN, what she's involved in, and the secret society meeting she's having, deciding the fate of you and I. Because make no mistake, they can have their way with poor Africans and Latin Americans and Asians. But here in the Western world, they are hiding by stealth, by Trojan horse, their attacks on the general public. The chemicals in the food and water, the estrogen mimickers, the cancer rates, the autism exploding, all the secret testing that's been declassified. Why would we trust anything these people do? And then there's the beautiful, shining face. I mean, she's a beautiful woman. She's got great spirit. She's smart. But she joined with the wicked to control the people. Now listen to me and listen carefully. There's no way I'm wrong. I wouldn't accuse her of things like this if it wasn't true. I don't do that. I've done the research. Oprah Winfrey meets in secret with the most evil men and women in the world every year and is given talking points to push on her audience to convince them that they're bad and should roll over and die. She is planning my future and your future and your children's future with the most twisted people this planet's ever seen. And that's a fact. And she needs to go public and release all the information she knows. I don't want to hate Oprah Winfrey. I don't want to fear Oprah Winfrey. I don't want to sit here and expose Oprah Winfrey. But my guts, my soul, my spirit tells me it's got to be done. God, Oprah, you claim you're here to free the people, but you just turned into a slave master. What have you done? The truth about Oprah Winfrey is, whether she's conscious of it or not, she is serving pure anti-human evil, wickedness, corruption. Go do your own research. The rabbit hole is so much deeper than I can break down here in the short presentation. But everything she sells is magical thinking to a group of disenfranchised, manless women sitting at home, desperate for a family, desperate for life, desperate for a culture. She's all part of the great society that started in the 60s and took black illegitimacy from about 5% to almost 80%. And now you see it in every other group of people. The state is being put in charge of the family. The family is being dismantled. And women are being given the system as their husband for protection and being taught from birth that men are their enemy. This is an attack on our species. And Oprah Winfrey is nothing but a Judas goat. Nothing but someone sent out there with a pretty face and a nice smile to sell us on cultural death. Oprah Winfrey, whether she knows it or not, is probably one of the greatest incarnations of the devil we see on this planet today, because Hillary Clinton is hunchbacked, evil, and twisted. David Rockefeller looks like a mummy. Henry Kissinger looks like a snot-nosed goblin. But Oprah Winfrey, even at her age, has a life force. She's strong. She's got some real beauty. That's why she's the shining light they use to lead you towards death. Do not be deceived, for Lucifer parades as an angel of light. She better get her soul right with God. There's no way she could shine the way she does and not have some true good left in her. I think Oprah Winfrey may be the most deceived of us all. I'm Alex Jones, and this is The InfoWar.
The new Superman and Wonder Woman, the super rich friends, not fighting bad guys, but fighting for good nonetheless. For Good Morning America, John Berman, ABC News, New York.
Tonight, we're going to discuss the truth. All right, so there is the report. It's up on InfoWars.com. We'll retweet it at Real Alex Jones on Twitter. Paul Watson now on his Twitter has more impressions than all the BBC Twitters combined. It's one of the biggest Twitter accounts in the world. But notice he doesn't even have a million followers like we do, at like 500,000 or 600,000, because conservatives don't tend, and libertarians actually follow people on Twitter. But in his battles and what he does, hundreds of millions of people a week end up seeing what he says. It's crazy. And I want to spend more time on Twitter and do what Paul's done. We mainly use it as a feed to send you breaking news, videos, material, some of my ideas and comments. But we can always be kicked off of Twitter, too. But it's just important for everybody to follow us at Real Alex Jones on Twitter. Leanne, watching that report, and just let me know, guys, if we're able to get Stone a little bit early so I can introduce him. Let me know in my ear. Thanks, crew. What you thought of that report on Miss Oprah Winfrey?
Well, it's interesting just your take on her, because I agree with you. She's a beautiful woman. She does have that great life force. And she was kind of someone who really inspired me to get into journalism and thinking that I could make a difference in the world and put the good message out there. So, you know, and I also know she's an Aquarius, so we typically don't tend to stray over to the dark side. You can typically take us on our word. So I'm curious if it's, just who she's surrounding herself with, or does she truly think that she's doing a good service by depopulating the earth or putting this message out there? Because, you know, even just with Donald Trump and his executive order saying that he wasn't going to give federal funding to these NGOs that promote abortion around the world, you know, this comes back from Kissinger's NSSM Memorandum 200, where they're afraid of the third world countries becoming
too overpopulated. And they admitted depopulating.
So
again,
right,
they're flooding us with third world populations, turning them into racists to try to take down society while they kill as many as they can inside the country.
Right.
Taking out their enemies in the West while they take out their other enemies in the third world. This is pure evil. I want to deploy real technology, make those places great places, mm-hmm. and then all of us can live together in peace. And if they want to come here, that's fine. This is classic divide and conquer. And you just hit the nail right on the head with Kissinger. She knows. For radio listeners, if you see the video, the crew found all the mainstream news articles where she pays almost no tax. She does all this as a scam. Only the ultra elite are allowed to do this. In the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, if you put your money towards, you know, reducing population, then they mm-hmm. let you have the rest of it back tax exempt.
Right.
So it's an incredible system. I'm told we do have Roger Stone getting in the chair. I want to get a prelude of what he's going to be doing in the fourth hour that he's hosting. And then get some final comments from Leanne and Owen Schroyer. The Making of the President 2016 now available, and he's already sent us a bunch of signed cards, signed inlays, but we're going to get even more from him. Every book that we sell for a limited time at InfoWarsStore.com. He's going to send us the signed inlay. So, Roger, get to signing. I'm going to need thousands more, my friend. The Making of the U.S. President. He's getting ready. I thought you guys said he was in the chair. So we're going to get him in here in just a moment. Again, I'm on the road. Everybody's doing a great job. A few train wrecks here. But that's what makes live radio / TV so much fun and what's dominating MSM. We are teleprompter free. Also, 25% off right now on the Alexa Pure Breeze air filtration systems. We also have 25% off on their water filtration systems. Take advantage of that. 10% off on Secret 12 super high quality methylcobalamin. Get your brain force, get your DNA force, get your Supermel Vitality. A lot of it back in stock. Biome Defense Probiotic. And know that we're going to build a Washington Bureau where you can see our reporters getting questions in on national news. Really battling the globalist mm-hmm. at point blank range. The final phase of the big fat dog coming in, little skinny New World Order demon dog having to move over, to quote Hank Williams. So very, very exciting times to be alive right now. I want to go back to Owen Schroyer for his take on just the times we're seeing. I just want to say thank God again, Owen and Leanne. We're seeing good Supreme Court people coming in. We're seeing Trump saying no to carbon taxes. It'll turn the economy back on. I mean, he's just making good. What are we, day 12? Day 13? How many days in here?
Yeah, I don't even think we're 2 weeks in.
Right.
But Alex, just to respond to the report you filed. So they filed this report on the super rich friends, right? The supposedly superheroes, super rich friends.
They're the good rich, but a middle class person with money's bad.
Yeah, they got all this money. They're doing all this good influence around the planet. But wait a second. Look at the areas where Bill Gates' vaccines went in Africa. Take a look at the destruction. How about Brazil, where his mosquitoes went? You got Zika. How about Soros? Ukraine, Arab Spring, Oprah Winfrey, inner
He's
U.S. cities, Warren Buffett,
weaponized
biggest
hurricanes.
Banker bailout recipient. So what are these people doing? What positive impact have they brought?
Except my world government are my weather machines and mosquitoes will get you. Fourth hour straight ahead. Don't listen to InfoWars. No.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Before America can be great again, she must be free again. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
We are here. Roger Stone is getting a studio set up and some guests lined up. She's a little late joining us. Again, Owen Schroyer and Leanne McAdoo are here. You've got Bill and Melinda Gates that fund the open borders. They're even worse than George Soros. And they fund the gun control, all of it. And then they've got a thing set up where when they set up the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, it's got to be 20-something years ago, started putting money in tax-exempt with Ted Turner. Their wealth all basically doubled. So they operate tax exempt and then, quote, all their money and their riches and their palaces and helicopters are just in there. So they're tax exempt. They've brought back the old trust that Teddy Roosevelt supposedly broke up in 1906. And if you're in that globalist club like Winfrey was allowed into, there's only maybe 15 of them in there. Zuckerberg's in it. You basically stop paying taxes. Then they lobby all day for, quote, raising taxes on rich people, saying they're not paying enough, and then raise it on the middle class. Trump's trying to stop all of that. Leanne McAdoo.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's just really interesting when you have all those same people in the room that they're constantly pushing for depopulation of the planet because there's so much waste, and then they're flying around on their planes. They've got 11 houses. You know, it's the exact opposite. And then they want to say how
11
great
houses.
They are.
Bill Gates has like 70,000 square foot compounds. I mean, command bases, underground redoubts. I mean, he's behind weather weapons, everything.
Yeah, Winfrey has a huge compound in Chicago, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just insane the way that they try to push and make us feel guilty. And then you'll hear people say, oh, well, wasn't it last year, a year or two ago? They said, oh, well, he donated all of his money to charity. Yeah, his own charity so that he wouldn't get taxed on it. I mean,
I'm going to explain this again. I've talked to lawyers. It's on the books. The IRS comes after you. I can't put, say, $1 million, in a foundation to protect it and save it and be tax exempt so I could maybe fund, you know, say, pro-human initiatives or something. They don't let little guys do it. Only the select boys, just like Enron, you know, had Arthur Anderson, they're left alone because the government they control doesn't prosecute them. Google's allowed to do stuff that nobody else can do. Illegal spying, you name it, because Obama protected them. That's all coming to an end with Trump. That's why they're crapping their drawers. And Trump isn't doing this to amass more power to himself. He is literally devolving it back to the states. How epic is that? And notice, pedophile rings are getting rolled up nationwide now. It's all over the country because the gloves are off.
Right. Well, I know there's quite a few stories out now where they're just talking about how Donald Trump has inherited this really powerful FBI and this secret government. And they were perfectly fine with this massive surveillance state happening under Obama. They truly thought that they were going to be in power forever. But now that Donald Trump is in power, they're thinking, oh, my gosh, they can spy on journalists or they can put anyone under FBI surveillance with just...
Oh, they loved Obama persecuting the press and all the rest of it. But then Trump says you ought to be able to sue somebody when they lie about you. They're like, oh, you want to hurt the press. You're censoring us. When Obama signed a law 2 weeks before Trump got in, putting the CIA over the media. Now, again, that's his leftist at the CIA, and that was going to be Brennan. Now it's not that way.
Right, and they're also talking about, you know, the Republicans, how they, it's a stolen seat, this Neil, the nominee for a stolen seat here with a SCOTUS appointment. Well, they all were really under the impression that Hillary Clinton, she was going to get to choose. So it's almost like, what are they pushing back against?
Well, I'm going to make one final announcement here, and then I've got to go, so you guys can come in until Stone's ready with whatever's going on there with their booking of guests or whatever's happening. But just to be clear here, I'm going to be on the Joe Rogan Experience in about an hour and a half for several hours. We're going to link to the live feed at Infowars.com in the next hour so people can share that link on Twitter and Facebook. And as I try to, you know, inform his audience of tens of millions. So I'm here in Los Angeles to see my old friend Joe Rogan. That's coming up. I'm going to turn this over to Leanne McAdoo and Owen Schroyer. Stay with us. We'll be right back with hopefully Roger Stone as well. Thank you to the crew and the rest of everybody making this possible, including Buckley. All right, I'm Alex Jones. Please support the broadcast. They're trying to censor us. Never forget that. Spread the link, spread the videos, and take advantage of the deals at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you all.
Answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Thank you very much. I'm Roger Stone, following the great Alex Jones. You know, at InfoWars, we work right up to the last minute to bring you breaking news. And I was on the phone with sources and double-checking some extraordinary, I think, news that we are going to get into later on in the show. It is extraordinary for me this week because we launched my new book, The Making of the President 2016, How Donald Trump Orchestrated a Revolution. Now, first of all, I want to thank Alex Jones yesterday for his comments on the actual day of the launch of this book. This is an important book in which Alex Jones and Matt Drudge and James O'Keefe and Steve Bannon, and there are so many intimate details that people don't know about this election. Yeah, it's a big picture look at how Donald Trump understood how disaffected Americans were, how tired they were of globalism, our shrinking job market, being humiliated around the globe, being harnessed with billions in debt, paying for unjust or unwarranted foreign wars, having our phones and our emails tapped and watching our civil liberties being eroded. The American people finally figured out that the system was rigged, as Donald Trump has said repeatedly. But this is also the first time in the history of our nation in which we reached an important tipping point. The mainstream media, ABC, NBC, CBS, they've lost their monopoly. They can no longer feed us their propaganda, confident that we can't find the facts and the truth elsewhere. And that is no longer the case. Thanks to journalists like Matt Drudge and Alex Jones and the late Breitbart, who is a great pal of mine, by the way, and now Stephen Bannon, who inherited Andrew Breitbart's mantle, Tucker Carlson in the Daily Caller, the folks at Town Hall, so many other, the people at the American Spectator. By the way, the American Spectator has a terrific piece on their cover about how Alex Jones and Roger Stone used the famous Clinton rape T-shirt to break through the mainstream media blackout of Bill Clinton's history as a sexual predator and Hillary's role in covering it up. Was it crude? Was it over the top? Yes, it was. And it was necessary, and it was effective. Again, the details can be found in The Making of the President. But when Alex Jones announced that anybody who was seen on television wearing this shirt would get a $1,000 bounty, and that if they yelled, "Bill Clinton is a rapist," audibly, and their appearance was legal, in other words, no crashing a closed set or a closed studio, that he would make it $5,000. This phenomenon became widespread. It's funny about how no one in the mainstream media reported of the dozens and dozens of televised incidents of young patriots standing up with their rape t-shirts. Or how the mainstream media didn't tell you about the young man in New York City who was savagely beaten by NBC security guards. Not just removed, but beaten. Only this week, NBC argued in court that the young man should have known that he was going to be beaten. So with that, I want to really focus on what I think is the number one danger to the United States, the number one danger to the Trump administration, indeed, the number one threat to the future of our freedom, and that would be billionaire George Soros. Joining us now is Franklin Brothers, who is one of the most respected researchers that I have worked with, and a man who has been watching George Soros with a focus to try to inform us and keep us up to date on what Soros is up to. So, Dr. Brothers, thank you, and welcome to InfoWars.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, you've been, I know, doing quite a bit of research in this area. I know you're working on a documentary, and you're not prepared to talk about that yet, but George Soros' name seems to be popping up around the globe. Having just spent, who knows, $1 billion to try to install his puppet, Hillary Clinton, and failed, he did not lose a step, not a moment, not a beat, before he began financing an attempt to wrench the election away from Donald Trump. I would remind InfoWars listeners and viewers that it was Soros who financed the recount in Wisconsin, the failed recount in Michigan, and the recount in Pennsylvania, all of which yielded nothing. So, Dr. Brothers, tell us what George Soros is up to.
Well, today I think the story is the short. George Soros is shorting the markets. He seems to know something. Typically, he does seem to know things. He moves the markets, and that's how he makes a lot of his money. He's a destabilizer, and by destabilizing entire economies, he makes billions and billions of dollars. And in fact, be told, I don't think that anybody really knows exactly how much money he has. So it's just another mechanism that he uses, and if it causes untold suffering, untold catastrophe and calamity, well, that's just an opportunity to buy for him.
No surprise that we learned that Soros was a major funder of the Women's March immediately after the Trump inauguration. I guess that didn't surprise you.
Not at all. It was not direct. He didn't like write checks to the or issue cash cards to the individual protesters. He has a series of dozens of organizations that he funnels money to. And being as he's the primary funder of these organizations, you could almost say that he was the organization. But via proxies and various shell games with corporations and various other filing techniques, he tries to shield himself from that. But we have been putting the pieces together, and yes, it all leads back to him.
Now, I reported right here on InfoWars well over six, perhaps 7 months ago, that the violence that was taking place at the Trump rallies, violence that was being blamed on Donald Trump, was in fact financed by George Soros. That's why it wasn't surprising that the hoodlums and punks that were throwing rocks and bottles and eggs and bottles of urine and baggies of Clorox meant to blind people during the president's inauguration, well, that was funded by Soros, too. My question is an obvious one, and I am not an attorney, I am proud to say. But if Soros, who is clearly an international criminal, is paying people to advocate violence and the assassination of the president of the United States. Why, with a crime like that, could the next attorney general not issue a warrant for his arrest? People have been injured, and in some cases, I imagine, killed based on this man's treachery. Do you think there is a possibility that the Trump administration would pursue such a remedy to this worldwide problem?
Well, certainly there are a list of recourses that can be applied to him and his assets here in this country. And the problem that we have is that there hasn't been any will, no will to do these things. Subversion is the word I think you're looking for, and the activities can all be grouped into that one heading. And there are copious laws on the books for subversion. And I believe quite clearly his activities would take up the mantle of subversion and wear it quite readily. However, you need to have somebody who's willing to prosecute. You need to have somebody who would first investigate and assemble a grand jury and subpoena all the necessary people. And that requires political will. Does Donald Trump have that will? No question in my mind. Do the people around him have that will? I think that remains to be seen.
This is, I would have to say, the first election in my lifetime in which the losers have demonstrated their intention to topple the government almost immediately. President Donald Trump, who is not a career politician, has gotten no honeymoon out of Washington, hasn't in any way gotten the benefit of the doubt. I say the man has been president for less than 2 weeks. Give him a chance. Now, I agree with what Alex Jones said yesterday. I like where he's headed. A man of action on immigration, on Obamacare, overturning some of the more ridiculous excesses of Barack Obama. But something that is more little known happened this week in Washington. The White House exercised its prerogative over all departments with a legal document that says that no decisions can be made on any issue, big or small, without White House approval. So the left-wing bureaucrats that are left in the administration of Barack Obama, who, after all, vacated the second and third levels of the government, is now being run by hostile bureaucrats. We'll be back. We'll be back with a lot more on InfoWars. Thank you, Dr. Brothers. Welcome back to InfoWars. I'm Roger Stone, sitting in for Alex Jones. You know, the important, in fact, the vital work that is done here at InfoWars really requires the support of like-minded individuals. I know the elitists on the left make fun of me when I talk about the terrific supplements and products at InfoWarsStore.com. The truth is, I was using alternative healing, natural supplements, Chinese medicines, long before I met Alex Jones, and long before I learned that the products at InfoWars.com's store are superior to anything you can get in a health food store and virtually anything that you can get online. There's no filler. There's no phonies. These products are tested, and without a sufficient number of testimonials from satisfied users, you won't find them on the site anymore. Alex Jones and his team use the best scientists and researchers and others to ensure they are getting pure ingredients that provide results. Alex won't put his name on anything that is second rate or deemed to be fraudulent. So if you can buy, for example, their Super Male Vitality product, for, you know, your vim, your vigor, your the bounce in your step. This is a fine product. Now, there you can find other male vitality projects out there on the market. And this product is so good that we have trouble keeping up with the demand. This is something that I think every man, regardless of whether you're in your 20s and just trying to keep up, or if you are the in your older years and you're looking for it for that spark and that vitality, male virility. This product is terrific, and you can get it now at Infowars.com. And remember, you're supporting the revolution. You're financing the extraordinary investigative journalism of Paul Joseph Watson. You are financing the reports of David Knight and Owen Schroyer and other alternative journalists who are putting CNN to shame, who are embarrassing the mainstream media every day. So it's win-win. Help us help you. Go to the Infowars.com store. I am very, very happy now to be joined by one of the most distinguished lawyers in the country, a man who is the great nephew of President Richard M. Nixon, Tyler Nixon, Esquire, attorney at law, activist, and man about town. Thanks for joining us at InfoWars.
Great to be with you, Roger, as always.
You know, you and I were talking the other day, handicapping the Supreme Court on the my radio show, The Stone Cold Truth. And you were lamenting, as I was, the fact that there were not more libertarians on the official list of conservatives that President Trump said he would choose from. That said, of all those on the list, with perhaps the exception, exception of Texas Judge Don Willett, who I think is a good man and a real libertarian, I think in Gorsuch, the president has chosen a diamond. This is a guy who is openly skeptical of government. This is a judge who doesn't believe that the government should have presumptions in criminal cases. About an hour ago, because I knew we would be talking about this, I reached out for Judge Andrew Napolitano, who told me Neil Gorsuch is a worthy successor to Anton Scalia. Judge Napolitano was, of course, an acolyte, a protege, and a friend of Judge Scalia for the last 10 years of his life. So, Tyler, give us your take on Judge Gorsuch and where this goes.
Well, first of all, Antonin Scalia came actually and visited my Georgetown University undergrad judicial colloquium, courtesy of the great Dr. George Carey in 1994. And everybody wanted to ask him about all kinds of sidebar questions.
You know, Tyler, we're going to pick this up on the other side because I think everybody wants to know what the impact will be of this appointment. So I thank you for joining us at InfoWars. Go to the InfoWars store. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Tyler Nixon.
Listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Thank you very much for coming back to InfoWars. Proud to be sitting in for my friend Alex Jones. And on the line with us still is Tyler Nixon, nephew of former President Richard Nixon, one of the most erudite and learned attorneys that I know, a man who's been handicapping the Supreme Court jockeying very closely. Tyler, you were going to tell us your view on Judge Gorsuch.
Yes. Yeah. Well, just to trace it back to Scalia, Justice Scalia came and was a surprise guest at a class I took at Georgetown years ago. I asked him about the Second Amendment, which was kind of an offbeat question. He said, "Oh, we'll never take it up. We'll never take up that question." Well, not 2 decades later, they did take up the question, or actually, less, probably a decade later, took up the question and ruled on it. So you never know in the Supreme Court. You never know in the court what are going to become live questions. Neil Gorsuch is absolutely another. Just masterstroke by Donald Trump, confounding his opponents, his enemies, his haters. He's picked someone who is truly a constitutionalist and originalist in the best sense of the word, a really mild-mannered, apparently as well, just good gentleman, a truly decent man. He's a native of Colorado. He's an outdoorsman. By all accounts, is just an extremely good temperament as a jurist, and also thoughtful, writes very readable opinions for you know, accessible to the average person. He doesn't do contortions and backflips, and you know, in order to drive his opinion or to drive his reasoning through, no matter what the case. And I think his best quote was that, you know, a judge who agrees with every one of his own decisions is probably not a good judge. But to sort of stand in for the great Judge Napolitano, he said it best when I think he said that, which I've agreed with for many years. You hear about judicial activism. You don't want judicial activists on the court. Well, when it comes to our constitutional rights, when it comes to the protection of the individual, when it comes to restraining the power of the Leviathan federal government, the national unitary government we have, we absolutely want activist judges in that sense. We want guardians of liberty and guardians of justice there. We do not want these rubber stamp judges who are worse than being statists, national statists, and authoritarians in a sense, are going out of their way to justify what isn't even in the law to empower the government, particularly with regard to law enforcement, with regard to the criminal, various inventions of crimes, the sort of three crimes a day deal. And Judge Gorsuch, soon to be Justice Gorsuch, is absolutely against over-criminalization as well at the federal level. Go ahead.
That's a great assessment. Tyler, I thank you for joining us. We've got to move along because we have some breaking news here that I want to get to. So many thanks Tyler Nixon. Come back and join us again.
Will do.
Joining us now, Zilli Danto is an attorney, a poet, a playwright, an activist for human rights in Haiti. And the situation in Haiti is grave. Not only was the nation of Haiti raped by the federal government under Barack Obama and raped by the federal government under Bill Clinton as a special UN advisor or controller, but also raped by Hillary Clinton and her State Department. The people of Haiti were hit by a horrific hurricane. They needed housing and roads and hospitals and schools. And hundreds of millions, if not billions, were raised by the great people of this world and by a benevolent federal government. And none of that money was used to restore the nation of Haiti. Dr. Zanto, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Roger, for having me.
So I know that this story that you're going to lay out for people does not have a happy ending, but review for us what the Clintons have done to Haiti, how they have inserted a puppet government now through election fraud, what that puppet government is doing, and what we can expect from President Trump.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And I haven't spoken to you since the election, so congratulations. I know how hard you worked. And we worked very, very hard to try to have Mrs. Clinton and Bill Clinton not be a third term for Obama. But though you guys won, we won in the United States, we are losing in Haiti. There was an election on November 20th, after 2 weeks after the presidential election in the United States. And this is the second time that election was run. The first time it was run was in 2015, and there was massive fraud by his name is Jovenel Moïse. He's a consultant created, Washington-backed, Obama-Clinton candidate. And there was such massive fraud the first time in 2015 that Haiti had to rerun the election. The Clintons are not letting go, people. They are committing absolutely fraud with this man. He had an election on November 20th. They said that he won more than 50% of the vote. All of the his top opposition asked for a verification. They went to the verification tabulation center and found on the first day that 77% of the vote for this Washington-backed Clinton donor candidate, Jovenel Moise, who's currently under investigation before he even gets inaugurated, which is supposed to be this February 7th. He's under investigation for money laundering. He has also been accused of having a drug strip in this business that he has. No one in Haiti knew this guy a year ago. He was created by Antonia Sola, Washington consultant, in order to continue the plundering that you just mentioned with regards to Mr. The Clintons in Haiti, because they had a doctorate election in 2011 after the earthquake with Michel Martelly. He was the carnival singer, very crass man. It's all written up now. Everybody knows that that election was doctored by the Clinton and Cheryl Mills. Now they're doing it again, and they're trying to push him through before Donald Trump gets a chance to look at what's going on. And we're hoping that Donald Trump pays attention, because the whole political party is a bunch of drug dealers, money launderers, criminals that these Clinton folks can blackmail. And they're trying to put them on top of the Haitian people. And we're asking Donald Trump, who promised to champion us. We worked really hard to get him elected. We want him to pay attention to what's going on. We don't want this inauguration to happen.
Well, I was very privileged to march with several hundred Haitian Americans and other Haitians outside the office of New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman when Schneiderman opened an investigation into the Trump Foundation, but refused to open an investigation into the Clinton Foundation and its illegal activities in Haiti. So I have been, my consciousness has been raised on this issue. Like you, I have been hopeful that President Trump will wipe these corrupt money launderers, these gangsters, and correct me if I'm wrong, Zilli, has the regime not been tied to child sex trafficking, to prostitution? This is a wide open business for these people.
You know, the UN absolutely has been tied to all kinds of raping 6-year-old children in exchange for food. This whole oligarchy that controls Haiti, they have billions of dollars. They are working with the Clintons and in order to take our petrol, our gas, our oil, our gold, and they don't want another president that is not connected to them, because they want all the decrees that Martelly put together. They want those decrees to continue, those decrees to be validated. And the World Bank, which is Clinton's buddy there at the World Bank, Jim Yong Kim, has amended the Haitian Constitution, and they have to have a Haitian parliament and a Haitian president to put it over Haitians' head in order to take our shorelines, our gold, our oil. And that's really what this is about. This is about taking Haiti's resources and continuing to plunder. And yes, there is organ trafficking that we know about with these NGOs, and we know about definitely the raping and trafficking of Haitian children. It's going on by the rich, by those with power.
Well, now we turn to the part of this that really I find astounding, something I learned less than an hour ago. Zilli, as you know, Omarosa Manigault is of Haitian descent. She, of course, starred on The Apprentice. She is a top aide to President Donald Trump. Surely she will educate the president about what has really happened in Haiti and how the people of Haiti have been raped, how the country is being pillaged, how Clintons and their foundation and their globalist buddies are getting rich, and why this government should be seated. Aren't you confident that she will do that?
I don't know, Ms. Manigault, but if she is the person that's supposed to be educating President Trump about Haiti, then that hasn't happened. This is the election happened on November 8th. We have never been contacted. I have been told that folks that are connecting to Trump are folks that are part of the Clinton Foundation. I actually didn't know that Omarosa Manigault was of Haitian descent.
I believe that she has some Haitian heritage, but I guess my more important question here was rhetorical, because I hear what you hear. I hear Omarosa is ushering the wrong people into seeing the president. I think I hear Omarosa is advocating for the Clinton positioned gangster coup d'etat in which they stole an election to install a consultant created puppet so that the rape of Haiti can continue. Now, I met Omarosa at the inauguration. She seems like a perfectly nice lady. I enjoyed her on The Apprentice, but my sources tell me that perhaps her understanding of the geopolitics and the most recent horrific past of Haiti may not be in sync with the president's views and may not be fully informed about this government and who is really pulling the strings. I know that she has a close personal relationship with an important Haitian power broker. Zilly, can you fill us in on that?
Yes. I know that, and I truly hope that Donald Trump is listening to you, Roger, and other folks who actually worked so hard to get him elected, and not folks that are coming out of nowhere now. I know now, for instance, because I looked up Ms. Manigault, that she's very connected to Ron Daniels. Now, Ron Daniels is a Clinton Foundation apologist person. He's a George Soros apologist person. He gets his money from these folks. And I know that he came out, even though Haitians are screaming about this fraud, this massive electoral fraud, he came out. This is an African-American. He came out and he said that there was no fraud. Everything was fine. And if he's the one that's advising Manigault, then we have the wrong person, and they really need to get in touch with me. They need to get in touch with you. They need to get in touch with not the folks that were not there when, you know, establishment Republicans weren't supporting Donald Trump. And we were here, and we've paid a price. And frankly, the thing is, February 7th is coming in. Haiti cannot afford another 5 years. Just like everyone here did not want the horror of another third term of Obama, we can't afford, even less than America could afford, another 5 years of Hillary Clinton in Haiti. And they're bringing in, when I tell you they're bringing in kidnappers, assassins, we're talking about people who actually have DEA wanted indictments that they're bringing in. And a president who's already under an investigation for corruption right now before he's even inaugurated. That's the type of people that Clintons want to put on top of us. And I am telling everyone, and I hope Donald Trump and his people see this. If Omarosa is the person that's in charge of connecting them with verifiable people in Haiti, that's about democracy, institutionalizing the rule of law and draining the Clinton swamp, she's not doing the job that she's supposed to do. And definitely, if Ron Daniels is involved at all with Donald Trump through Omarosa, he's getting the wrong information.
Well, I do know this, that Omarosa, regardless of her personal heritage, outreach to people of color is her portfolio. I hope all of my sources are wrong, but it sounds to me like she's bringing the wrong people to the table. It would be horrific if this administration continued the rape of Haiti. Black lives matter, unless you're Haitian, in which case they don't seem to matter at all. One thing I think Donald Trump can do is to reverse that and get justice and a superior quality of life and constitutional freedom, a government free of corruption for the Haitian people. That is a worthy goal. Thank you very much. And let me thank you particularly for your writings. You are a fighter. I know you've been on top of this. I read everything that you write and keep fighting, keep slugging. And I suggest you reach out to Omarosa because she should hear it directly from you. Thank you, Dr.
I hope you're watching this, and thank you so much, very much. And everyone can look at my ezelidanto.com to keep up, and we really need February 7th to be stopped. This inauguration of this absolute corrupt electoral coup d'etat of the Clintons. The Clintons' parting gift to Haiti is for another 5 years of a dictatorship occupation, and we want that to stop. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Zil Danto, poet, activist, freedom fighter, and attorney, who brought me extraordinary news that White House aide Omarosa Miguel has been ushering in a dialogue with the most left-wing Clinton-connected elements of the Haitian scandal. I hope that she hears about this broadcast, and I hope that she will study what has really happened in Haiti. Before I sign off, I want to tell you that my book, The Making of the President 2016, if you buy it from InfoWars, you will get gratis from me a signature and an inscription. So go to the InfoWarsStore.com store now, and we'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to InfoWars. I'm sitting in for the legendary Alex Jones and privileged to do so. There's a big story in Washington, and I think people outside the Beltway don't kind of get it because, unless you're plugged into the bureaucracy and the jockeying going around the new administration, you may not understand the import. Politico reports that White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus told Anthony Scaramucci, a former hedge fund executive who is a very adept fundraiser for Donald Trump, who ended up being a liaison to many of the key business communities that were pro-Trump, a prodigious fundraiser, a man very respected among conservatives, among libertarians, and particularly respected among those who were Trump loyalists. It was reported that because of the complicated financial transaction in which he sold his business in order to be able to say yes to the president's invitation to serve as liaison to the business community in a White House post, because delays of his government ethics approvals due to the complicated nature of that sale of his company would take some time, and that the White House Chief of Staff, Reince Priebus, had asked Mr. Scaramucci because they did not want to leave the post vacant for 90 days to step aside. Well, it turns out, Politico learned later, that a rapprochement was reached, and now, despite a brief assertion by White House spokesperson Sean Spicer that Scaramucci's status was uncertain, we now know that the chief of staff has reached out to the solid conservative and well-respected Scaramucci to tell him that indeed they will try to expedite the process to ensure that he meets all of the government ethics requirements. It would be a blow to those who are loyal to Donald Trump. It would be an insult to those who were opposed to his candidacy but are now involved in this administration. For a fine patriot and somebody as widely respected as Anthony Scaramucci to be forced out of the administration. I know that the president is very high on Anthony. I know that the president has confidence in his ability. So I am happy to report that this story, buzzing around the Beltway, even as we speak, appears to have a happy ending. And now I can't resist the chance to remind you yet again, now available in stores, launched yesterday, The Making of the President 2016, How Donald Trump Orchestrated a Revolution. If you buy it at InfoWars, you will get a signed copy by the author, yours truly, with a thanks for helping InfoWars. So please, help us make the New York Times best-selling list. You want to kick the globalists in the ass? Make this book number one. And thanks for joining us at InfoWars.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.